This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. It is episode number 39, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It is the 20th of December, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
A mail carrier had a registered letter that needed a signature. Receiving no response to his knock on the front door, he went around to the back door, which he found open except for the screen door. So he knocked. A high-pitched voice from inside said, "Come in!" Upon entering the kitchen, he was confronted by the largest German Shepherd he had ever seen. The dog bared its fangs menacingly, forcing the mailman against the wall. The mailman shouted, "Lady, lady, call off your dog before he eats me alive!" The only response he got was the same high-pitched voice coming from the next room saying, "Come in!" Pressing his body against the wall, he slowly worked his way around the door, leading to the next room. Looking around, he saw the room was empty, except for a parrot in a cage. After the threat from the huge dog, he was becoming quite irate and said to the parrot, "Damn you! Don't you know any words besides, come in?" Without a moment's hesitation, the parrot looked at him and responded, "Sick 'em!"
Clinton, liberals, dittos!
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easter, my friends! Son of Easter, and welcome! You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It is our episode number 39. It's our big holiday Christmas Kwanzaa Festivus Hanukkah Solstice
at 4:22 today.
Woo! Show. Being recorded on the 20th of December, 2006. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual and patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And we are thrilled and delighted to have you here. We're going to have a great, great, great show for you today. We were off last week. We were fighting various rounds of upper respiratory. Blah. That's all taking a back seat at this point. This is our last show of the year, because next year is Christmas week, and we will be off doing those kinds of things. But we're not leaving you on a low note. Oh, no, 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 no. This is a big, big, big show. We're going to be having a special return visit today from our good friend, comedian Allie Waller. She's going to be joining us today and doing a kind of a 2006 recap. We're also going to be talking with our good friend, Ken Turetsky, who's just gotten crankier since the last time that he was on the show with us. I thought he was kind of a jolly old elf, but he's not. He's the opposite of whatever jolly old elf would be. We'll be talking with Jason Nathanson, who's going to kind of wrap up the year in television, and he's got an interesting story about some weird stuff that happened in L.A. radio where one DJ walked into another DJ's booth. Sounds like the beginning of it. Sounds like the joke I should have told at the beginning of Schnauzer Logic. plus... We're going to try to do our special night before Christmas listener participation thing by the not ready for gender change surgery players. And more stuff and nonsense. So as we get going, let me look to my left here, your stage right, and say Son of Easter to my good friend Sean Meehan.
Son of Easter.
How are you?
I am good.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you,
too. I missed having you around last week.
It was no good. There was a hole in my week.
Where the rain comes in.
Oh, ain't it true?
Well, yeah, that's why I said it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why... John and Paul said it, and that's why, I mean, it's been true since at least 1966, and it remains true today.
It does indeed.
40 years of truth, ladies and gentlemen.
That's about enough for me, actually. Let's also say Sona Vista to Sherry Stevens.
Sona Vista, Robin.
There you are.
Here I am.
That's a much better mic.
It is a good mic.
Than the
one
that you normally have.
Is that the one that I normally have?
Yeah, that's the one you normally get.
Oh, we're going to switch it before Parviz ever knows.
I actually have a new mic on order.
Wow.
So there is a...
mics all around.
There's a new mic. The new mic should have been here. I bought it on eBay from Musicians Exchange or something like that. And talk about an eBay deal going south. First of all, the thing shipped 5 days later than it was supposed to. So I already missed a podcast from it. Then they didn't respond to my email because apparently their server was all screwed up. Then he responded to the email and asked me if I'd please be patient because it was the holidays. It showed up on Monday. I was so thrilled that we would have a brand new mic for this episode. It was the wrong mic.
Oh, no.
And about 10 minutes after I got it, I got an email from the guy going, did you get the wrong mic? And I'm thinking, yeah, because this is not the first phone call you're going to be getting. So next year, in the new year, in the 2000, next year in Jerusalem and also with a new microphone. Anyhow, let us say our very special holiday greetings to our good friend, Mr. Kip Adana, our good friend, Mr. Michael Zwirling.
Stroke or unload.
Dick Cheney. Harry Whittington. Whitney.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Sammy, who beat me to the punch. And this one's for Parviz.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
All right, there you go. So you guys, how are you guys doing?
Good.
You both seem low energy. I got to be honest. You're both very quiet. You're both just kind of sitting and staring at me like I got a horn sticking out of the middle of my head.
That's not a horn? Oh, it's okay.
Hey,
headphones,
what's with
sorry.
Jewish Regan? Judith Regan, sorry. Wow, talk about a...
Boy.
Wow, talk about a Freudian slip. Did you guys hear about this?
I didn't. Fill me in.
You want to tell her?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, you know, she was let go after the whole debacle with the OJ, if I would have done it kind of thing. I guess the fallout probably resulted in her being let go. But claims are now being made that the real source of the division between herself and her employer, which was
Murdoch, well, HarperCollins.
Right, HarperCollins was the company, but it's all owned by News Corp and Murdoch right. and what have you,
and the devil,
Yeah, and they have come up with notes, I believe, that an attorney was scribbling down, an attorney working on behalf, I think, of HarperCollins. As they are wont to do. And he took furious notes of her anti-Semitic comments made on the during this phone call and have released these notes to smear her, which is the devil's work.
And do we have clips of that?
No, well, it was not audio.
It was not
so
audio.
We don't have any audio clips. You can actually read them. I know it's way too much work, but...
It was... What I actually found about it, though, is I read the notes.
Yeah.
I didn't find them tremendously offensive. There was one that she disputes actively where she said that there was a Jewish cabal, according to the notes.
Right.
She said that there was a Jewish cabal at HarperCollins, and perhaps at News Corp as well, that had it in for her. And she said she just used the word cabal.
I see.
Sans Jewish.
Yeah.
But other than that, she made a remark something to the effect that Jewish people, of all people, basically should know what it's like to be ganged up on and unfairly...
So,
treat it.
'Tis the season to lose your fucking mind. Is that really what we're seeing here? I mean, you've got Andy Dick, Michael Richards, Judith Regan.
Mel Gibson.
Is there sort of this simmer? Oh, well, recently, what's her name? Rosie.
Right.
Rosie went off on the whole ching-chong.
Where was Parviz?
I don't know.
Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding.
I guess that's racist and we need to stop doing it.
You
know what Parviz would say? Funny is funny.
I found Rosie's remark baffling in terms of they would not understand what the content of an American news story is. It did not strike me as racist, but what I found really amusing is some Asian organization, the head of some, you know, Asian sort of anti-defamation organization refused to accept her apology because...
Well, then it doesn't count.
It was too offensive. The remarks just were too offensive for the feeble apology that...
So she apologized a half hour later.
I don't know what it is.
What do we do with this? I mean, the Rosie thing, you know, I thought about this, and I thought to myself, when you're doing comedy, when you're doing any kind of improv, you're looking for a shorthand method for letting the audience know who it is that you're trying to depict. I mean, can you imagine if we were trying to do Scattergories or Pictionary or charades without, you know, well, you can't use your hands.
In an ethnically, culturally,
exactly.
and racially sensitive manner.
That's a fun
evening. Would, yeah. No one would ever get the word. We'd still,
you know. What are they going to do? Are they going to start taking Sanford and Son off syndication? Or all? You know, I mean, you think about all the shows that you know we watched 20, 30 years ago. That they're not at all appropriate now.
I think that there is something to be said. I remember years ago watching... Enter the Dragon with my girlfriend at the time, and she made an observation that I found was very interesting. That's a Bruce Lee film and kind of a James Bondish almost sort of a film with Bruce Lee as the hero, but one of the major supporting players is I can't recall the name of the martial artist, but a black martial artist of some renown, mm-hmm. Who also had a sort of B-movie career in the 70s, and she said, "I don't think you could make that movie today,"
yeah,
because. You know, I don't think you could have a black portrayed that way in a movie today. And I said, well, you know, portrayed as a lead, you know, that was a time I think Miami Vice may have still been on the mm-hmm. air in its waning years. And I said, well, look at Miami Vice. You've got a black guy. Yeah, but he is essentially a completely enculturated black man. The black guy on Enter the Dragon was, you know, this sort of fierce Muslim warrior. He wasn't Tubbs. He wasn't just, you know, an Afro-American. He had a black agenda, you know what I mean? And he was still featured as a heroic character in this film. I don't know if in some ways we haven't backslid from the 70s to today as far as racial comfort.
I went to a Wikipedia. I don't have it in front of me here. I went to Wikipedia, and there is a listing on Wikipedia of every term that is considered to be offensive by some group. And the listing goes on for, I don't know, 20 pages?
It's ponderous, I'm sure.
And then, of course, it points you to a website of sort of the canonical list of words that are considered offensive by someone somewhere. And so I understand, you know, you and I have talked about the, you know, how there are folks who you know, downplay political correctness. And they look, it becomes their boogeyman, if you will. And you say to yourself, oh, you're missing the point. But I think when you talk about this, if it's offensive to just one person, do we decide as a group? I don't know how you make that decision. I didn't, when I heard her sort of do the ching chong, I thought, well, does that mean that for you to do Chinese humor, you need to learn Mandarin? You know, and if it's not a really good Mandarin accent, is that offensive? Because I know the French would feel that way about Mandarin too. Actually,
right.
So.
Well, it is interesting. I find the whole thing a little perplexing. And I think ultimately it's a disincentive for creativity and it's a disincentive for comedic creativity, certainly. And I don't know if the value it provides in sensitivity, if that value really outweighs the loss of a sense of freedom and creativity. I think at that point, we're really looking at a balance of, you know, on the balance sheet, I think we've gone too far in one direction.
Yeah,
I don't like it. But part of it, I think, is just the crazy power of the media now to give that one person who's offended an extraordinary amount of airtime if these 24-hour news networks and these, you know, people who are trawling for this sort of story can use it. If we can find one outraged guy, I can turn that into an hour of radio or television that's controversial.
That's an excellent point. So you're blaming it on these sort of 20-something producers that look at this all as just fodder for their little mill.
I'm wondering. I mean, I seriously do wonder at this point.
When Jason comes on, we can blame him.
Well, I've always blamed him. I mean,
God bless you.
But he's going to be a 30-something producer very soon.
I know.
And then I think he's going to...
He'll can't have to find a new
anymore.
Job.
How does that work?
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our first break. We'll play a little bit of tunage. We got some holiday-appropriate tunes here. And with any luck, when we get back, we'll be talking with Ollie Waller. How's that sound?
Cool.
I love it.
Where the fuck is Parviz?
He's late today.
He told me that he was at a job site, which is right down the street next to Good Sam Hospital. Okay. They're doing all that construction over there on Samaritan Drive. And that he was going to be here, but that he wouldn't have a chance to clean up first, so that he would be not sweaty, but he would be dusty, or he wouldn't be dusty, but he'd be sweaty, or something. He'd be one of the dwarfs combined with another dwarf, and he would take off his shoes, and then he had to leave early. But he'd be here for sure.
It would disturb me if a plumber who just got off a job site wasn't sweaty. I mean, I'm not saying that I want a sweaty guy here in the studio, but I'm saying...
Isn't that what you're saying?
I think that they should build up a little sweat. I think over the course of a day.
That's what you're saying. Isn't it what you're saying? I think it's what you're saying.
Ching chong, ching chong, ching chong. I don't know what I'm saying.
It's ching chong. Let's get it right.
That's why they were offended.
That's what it is. It's all about the tone.
All right. You are listening to Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sean Mee, and Sherry Stevens all inviting you to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
World War.
fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're about 21 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. www.schnauzerlogic.com, Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. We're also over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. We got a phone number. It's area code 206-666. You want to take Parvisa's role today? 206-666-6540. You made me nervous. You do know what it is.
666.
Yes, that. He gets a little fixated.
I thought you said OCD. You wanted me to do Parviz's role, which was to make you nervous.
Touche. Touche. I got nothing to add to that. The Royal Guardsman with a little Snoopy and a
Pretty
Red
nice.
Baron Christmas song.
Kind of scary at first, but.
You hadn't remembered it.
I hadn't at all.
Yeah.
And then when they started
singing.
And then
it came back to you.
Yep.
And you had not heard that.
I had not heard it. And at the beginning, I was quite vexed by the gunfire behind O. Tannenbaum.
I thought, my God, where are we going with this?
That is a martial culture.
Christmas in Iraq, I guess.
Yes.
Just extending their 15 minutes of fame for an extra 3 minutes and 22 seconds, I guess, back there in the 70s. So, because they do play these things, but you don't hear them very much. I mean, you hear a lot of Springsteen, you hear a lot of the other stuff, but you don't hear that. So, anyhow, we're very, very excited because she was on the show with us a few weeks ago, and she was a huge hit, as you may remember. And because of Allie's appearance on the show, we wound up with a brand new official Schnauzer Logic ringtone. So let's bring her on the line and say, Sona Vista to Allie. How are you? Welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're terrific.
Excellent.
So, have you heard that ringtone ringing anywhere in your vicinity? Anyone downloaded it and showing up?
It hasn't caught on in L.A., but I have a feeling in Northern California it's a hit.
Well, we'll have to do that. That's the winner. So, how is the holiday season treating you?
It's okay. It's all right. I don't know. It's not my favorite right now because there's like a lot more traffic. And then I baked, and then I realized after I baked for all these people that means I didn't have to get in the car and like schlep them baked goods.
Do you sort of celebrate the Christmas thing, or you're of the Jewish persuasion, as Woody Allen would say?
I'm a big Jew, but I'm a pretty bad Jew. So I happened to be at a Hanukkah party on Saturday night, and I got there in time for the lighting of the candles. But that's the extent of my Hanukkah.
It's like showing up at the reception to a wedding.
Yeah.
You get credit.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think, though, I mean, Hanukkah has kind of gotten blown out of proportion. I am not Jewish, but as I understood it as a youngster, with all my Jewish friends, who I've since said goodbye to because, I can't be seen with them.
You can't stay friends with them.
No. Not past adolescence. It's frowned upon in my WASP culture. But
right.
And Judith won't return your calls.
but the Hanukkah is, a distant second to something like Passover in terms of its theological importance.
Yeah.
Hanukkah.
Oh, yeah, total minor miracle that I think was blown up in order to make the Jewish kids feel better
about all the
Santa hubbub going on.
And, even ironically, I mean, I grew up Catholic, so actually real WASP people won't talk to me either. But I grew up Catholic, and the understanding, Christmas was almost a secular holiday for us as well,
mm-hmm.
because Easter, the resurrection of Christ,
right.
is the moment of importance.
It's the main event.
It's the main event in our religion, similar to Passover for you guys. So it's how this winter celebration became sort of the penultimate deal in our religions is kind of surprising. And as I understand it, back in the 19th century, it was also not such a huge deal. You cut the Christmas tree down the night before, you decorated it, you all had a nice meal. It was more like Thanksgiving.
Right.
And now, I wonder how that happened. I wonder how we blew the associating the presents and all that kind of stuff with the spring holidays. and threw it with the water.
Yeah, I think probably people in cold states were like, fuck, I gotta get out of this. Sort of major event to you know, warn a vacation. And then there you go.
Yeah, because otherwise they're screwed.
Yeah.
And it's the end of the year, so does this sort of raise issues for you as someone who's a writer? I mean, there seems to be this natural inclination to sum up the previous 12 months, although there's another 12 coming right down the pike.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like everybody slows down now. Like most people in the industry are pretty much on vacation now for, like, you know, at least 2 weeks. And for me, it's just like a scramble to feel like I've accomplished more, mm-hmm. just personally, like how much I have written, you know. And then I find myself being like, well, I really like a screenplay and two pilots this year. And then I'm like, oh, no, that was over the last 3 years. I didn't do a lot this year.
I was going to go, wow.
Yeah,
I was proud of you for just. Proud of you for just baking.
Yeah, no kidding. The schlepping was just added on.
Exactly.
I was impressed that you could type a screenplay and two pilots in a year.
Let's be honest. Yeah. I'm happy she answered the phone. Okay. So do you? I mean, do you have an outlet for this? Obviously, if the Showbiz Show were in production now, there would kind of be an outlet for this kind of thing. What do you do with all of these ideas that back up in your head?
You know, I mean, I try. Like lately, it's been a lot of like mind-numbing television, like Top Chef. I'm really enjoying right now, and Lost. I watched 2 seasons of Lost in about 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty. It's not. There aren't a ton of ideas flowing in, but it's mostly. You know, I kind of just take the time to work on my own stuff. Stand-up helps. I don't do it too often, but when I do it, it helps because, you know, I have random ideas jotted down and I can just, you know, it's that immediate feeling of, you know, you say it and you get that idea out and see if it works.
And you are doing the awkward family dinner at the Tangier.
You know, I had a little argument with the people of Tangier, so I'm going to take a little break. And start up somewhere else in a month or so.
Well, I hear there's some space time over the stage time over the Comedy Store.
That's true.
Well, you know, we were talking about that right before you got on the air. We were talking about how Judith Regan, like, this was the year that everybody lost their fucking mind, and Rosie O'Donnell and Michael Richards, obviously, and then Andy Dick jumped into the middle of this thing. And they're all down in L.A. Well, except for Rosie, who,
yeah.
What the hell's going? What's wrong with you people?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Don't drink the water.
I feel like the more money people get, the less they relate to anybody else. And then, you know, why not hate them? I don't know.
God, that is so true. You know, I was watching today as I was getting ready for the show. I had the Colbert Report on in the background, and he was interviewing Jack Welch, the former mega GE CEO. And I was in the other room, so I couldn't see him, so I was only able to listen to what he said. But the disdain that he had for regular people, and by regular I mean anybody who owns anything less than their own island, was so tangible that I hated him from another room. That's how much I hated him.
It's interesting. You can just get so. I mean, first of all, just the amount of wealth people want to acquire these days is absurd. That's like a whole other topic. But yeah, I think that happens and you literally stop being able to relate to other people. And I think about it, I go spinning in a place with a lot of really like rich wives. And, you know, I mean, they're very nice and they'll say hello. But I think beyond that, like we have nothing to say to each other because our lives are just so, I mean, I'm obviously still a little bit younger, but it's still just like they band together. They talk about like their abs and their kids and their expensive private schools and their sexless marriages. That's not fair. That's a generalization, but
I guess about 5 years ago now, Robin did a comedy program, you emceed a comedy thing
at
a local
Santa Cruz. Yeah,
at a local comedy place, and one of the guys who was he was sort of the headliner was the former head writer for
Dennis Miller. Yeah.
And I talked to him a little bit that evening.
Was it Eddie?
I can't remember his name.
I don't think it was Eddie. It was somebody else who was on the staff. I don't know if he was a head writer, but he was.
I thought he was the head
writer.
Was
he? Yeah, okay. I know who she's talking about.
Feldman is my boss on the Showbiz Show.
Oh. Well, he probably wasn't him.
It was a small, skinny, angry guy.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Anyone you know?
There's a lot of them in comedy.
Anyone you've dated? Anyone you know?
No.
The small, skinny, angry guy is the icon of stand-up comedy. Except
it's
for
actually,
the fat.
It's actually my type, too.
So you hear that, small, angry guys out there? You remember the phone number. We will transmit your information to Allie.
Yeah. Join my 2007.
But he said something that I thought was really interesting. I asked him, what happened to Dennis Miller? You know, what strange transformation occurred to move him from what seemed to be a hip kind of, you know, at least somewhat left guy to this stalwart, you know, bastion of conservatism? And he said, you know, my feelings about Dennis were basically, he never was particularly left. He went the way the wind blew. And all of a sudden, he became very rich. So he moved to Santa Barbara, which is a very rich community. And he didn't just move to Santa Barbara. He moved to one of the most exclusive gated communities in Santa Barbara.
Mm. Right.
And all of a sudden, he was surrounded by the super rich. And once there, he sort of slowly, through osmosis, morphed into a super rich person. And that is where the conservatism started really coming in. And I think, you know, that just sounds like what you were saying. I think that you're right. People become extremely rich. They start to run in rarefied circles. And all of a sudden, the concerns of the common man are pretty much gone.
So how do you explain someone like Ted Turner, who is kind of this, or Branson, for example, who are billionaires, technically billionaires, who actually seem to have a social conscience?
They're baffling to me. But they should get some kind of an award.
Yeah. No, I mean,
something
Bill,
should be
Bill
fashioned.
Gates is amazing to me of what he's done. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Because I think I almost, you know, as much as I think that's kind of gross that Dennis Miller would be like that, I can completely understand how that would happen.
Sure. But he shouldn't get the coveted, like, glass hand-blown pimp cup.
What?
Well, I'm trying to think of something...
An appropriate award.
Is this eBay? Where do you buy these things?
I just see rappers with them. I see rappers with their giant, you know, adorned pimp cups.
All right, now I have something to add to my Christmas list.
Absolutely.
I didn't know what I wanted this year. Do you have a Christmas list?
Oh, of what I want?
Yeah.
No, not so much. I just want to be not as bored as I am right now. Not now, on the just in general in my life, not right this second, but yeah.
Once again, that's a shout out to you, skinny, angry guys.
Yeah.
Do you really find that you're bored? Because you strike me as someone who has, well, maybe it's just the nature of having a creative, quick mind that you get bored easily. But isn't the world your oyster?
No.
I smell ringtone.
No, because we've just been out of work. Our show just got pushed back again because like scheduling conflicts until February.
Oh,
and so
fuck.
It was kind of, you know, I finished work in July. It was really good at first. I, you know, took some time off, like hung out, and then really started writing. And now I'm kind of on this period where I'm just ready to get back and have assignments again. And, you know, and you're pretty much, even when my productive writing days, I'm alone all day. So that gets frustrating. And then I'll go out too much. You know, it's not a fun cycle. So Top Chef is great.
So what were sort of some of the trends of 2006 that you think either may or may not hopefully push over into 2007?
You know, I feel like, and now again, I work on a show that, you know, we're based on showbiz, and then after July, like, I really need to take a break, so I haven't been reading the tabloids.
Sure.
But it seems like the Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie thing, is it dying down a little bit? It feels to me like they've done enough stupid things that, like, people are kind of... I'm hoping that will push out of 2006 and kind of keep getting less and less. Or have I just not been reading the tabloids?
I don't think that they have been making the sort of the tabloid covers with the same frequency. Maybe
didn't Nicole Richie recently get pulled over
for wrong
DWI?
Way driving?
She under the influence.
But yeah, I mean, and Britney's whole thing, which got a lot of attention, but I think these people are really looking like idiots. So I'm hoping that the trend will die down, because it really, that used to really upset me how much influence girls like that had over young girls.
Do you actually think that that's true?
You know, when Paris Hilton hosted, did I tell you guys the story the last time? Wouldn't it be funny if I just busted into all the same stuff I talked about last time? but when Paris Hilton hosted SNL, she was such...
Oh, remind me to ask you whether Tina Fey's a bitch, by the way.
Oh, yes. She's not. When Paris Hilton hosted SNL, she was just, like, disrespectful. It was just, you know, usually people come on the show and they're in awe because, you know, they're like us and they've been watching it since they were kids.
Sure.
And they're so excited to be on there. She, for her, was just, like, another, you know, another press thing to do. And she was just, all she wanted to do was make sure she looked hot and all the sketches. And she was just a mess. And on Saturday night, like, everybody pretty much hated her. And Saturday night, after the show, there were a couple, like, teenage girls in the elevator with me, and they were beaming. And one of them was excited because she had, like, a Teen Vogue with Paris Hilton on the cover, and Paris had signed it for her.
Right.
And
$20.
The girl was so excited, and I said, I have to ask, like, what is it about Paris Hilton that you like so much? And she was like, she's just awesome. And I said, well, why? Like, what is it that she's done that you like? And she just looked at me, and she goes, that's hot. And I was like, oh, she could say, but this little 10-year-old girl, like, clearly is going to model after her, at least for a couple years.
Well, you know, I feel the same way at John Lovitz. I mean, there was a long time when I walked around going, acting! Yeah, but don't you think that's, I mean, that kind of hero worship is at a very basic level, and I don't know that it lasts very long.
Right, yeah, you would hope that it was like, you know, my Kirk Cameron crush faded.
Okay, well.
And I'm not into Jesus now, so it's like, fine, you know.
You shouldn't have left that behind, you know. Kirk is still hot. Just because he witnesses doesn't mean he's not hot.
Well, but you know what I think, and I don't know whether this is done on purpose. Now, do you read Paris Hilton, the these kind of celebrity glam gay bloggers?
I used to read Pink is the New Blog.
Okay, that's another one.
T-Famer. But, Paris Hilton wasn't one of my favorites.
I've been sort of looking at some of these recently. Jason Nathanson, your friend, turned us on to this, and so I've been kind of looking at them to get a sense of them. And they're boring. I mean, they're fun for the first few days, and then they get boring because they're fairly repetitive. But what's interesting is, and I wonder whether this is true intentionally, the photographers are photographing these ugly people. You know, the Paris Hiltons and the Nicole Richies, and they're photographing them in very ugly ways. So when you see them. Many of them are dangerously thin to begin with, but they find the angle that makes them look the most grotesque.
Right.
And then you see these photographs, and they show up in Drudge, and they show up in USA Today. They show up all over the place. And I think you have this visceral reaction that these people are somehow physically hideous, and therefore it's much harder to admire them.
Yeah.
Do you ever talk to the folks who are sort of behind the lens, either on television or in print media? Who, you know, is there an agenda that you've noticed? I'm guessing most of the photographers are men, as a matter of fact, but maybe that's not a fair assumption.
I mean, I think it's almost like a split down the middle, where sometimes they want the gorgeous pictures of Evangeline Lilly in her beautiful dress, and then yeah, sometimes for people like Paris Hilton and whatever, you know, they do want that picture where she looks dangerously thin or drunk or whatever it is.
I mean the Britney shots, you know.
Yeah.
were fairly hideous, but then the shots afterwards were equally hideous, even when her panties were not showing. None of these were flattering kinds of images, and so those are not the things that you want floating around out there. Jerry's got a daughter of this approximate age.
Right, but she hasn't been around lately, so I haven't seen the tabloids or been watching, you know, the
well,
shows.
Well, I've got him over here, yeah. So.
But I think that what happens is they're out there just trying to get shots, and I think that some of those photographers do want to catch them when they're not looking their best.
Gotcha.
Right.
So what happens with you in 2007 in the world, in your own career, in the world of comedy?
I don't know. I want 2007 to spoon me, and I'm nervous. I'm gonna like fuck it too quick, and I don't want to mess things up. There's just a lot of hope for me.
I see.
I like that.
Much out of that year. I'm hoping I'll find a nice boy. I'd like to staff on a sitcom this spring, which is not easy to do these days, but I'm really trying.
You know, I saw there was an article in a... Speaking of sitcoms, we talked about this the last time that you were on. There's only a couple that are on the air now. They're sort of doing anything that's real. Although, you know what? I happen to see a few episodes of, what is it, Help Me Help You? That's the Ted Danson show?
Yeah, I think it might have just been canceled, though.
Oh, perfect. There's actually some clever characters in there. Whoever is doing some of the writing of some of the characters, whoever's sort of taking responsibility, is doing a pretty interesting job of giving them some sort of fun backstories that they can work with and really make some interesting stuff. So, yeah. I think
that's what it really comes down to, because so many shows, you know, I think we can still have sitcoms on. Like, you don't have to entirely change the face of the sitcom. You know, right. It'd be nice, but I think, like, you can still use some of the old format. But just, I think, interesting characters. You know, like, look at The Office. It's just a sitcom about what takes place in an office. But the characters are all so fun and real and interesting in different ways that's what makes you like it.
I got to ask you one final question here. And that is, did you see Borat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did not like it one bit.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Explain, if you wouldn't mind.
For me, it's just, and you know, I think Ollie G is an amazing character. Clearly, Sacha Baron Cohen is a genius, and I don't discredit that at all. Borat was never one of my favorite characters on his show.
Okay.
And I was skeptical about the movie, and then, yeah, it's just like, why are we taking down the Kazakhstan? Like, it just seems like kind of like an unfair hit at this tiny country that, I mean, who knows if he even knows that much about what, you know, what it's like in Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to me, like, the gay jokes aren't that funny. Like, I don't know.
Okay. That's not unfair.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, we haven't talked about it with anyone else. I don't know if anyone else here has seen it except me.
I've seen it.
I have not seen it, but it seems like he did his research. You know, the cattle living in the house, the sister who is the
number four prostitute.
I mean, that all seemed very realistic. It seemed as though, you know, that research was done. I was impressed.
Right. And I have to say, I mean, you got to give it to him. He is damn good. I mean, he never seems to break.
He didn't break character, and it was so painful to watch. I had a very hard time watching it, and I felt guilty for laughing when I did.
Yeah.
You know, because it was very hard to get through.
I guess that was my point. Yeah, that's sort of what I was driving at, which is it isn't traditional, but there's a mean-spirited quality to that.
Yeah,
and I think you see more of that in comedy, and I'm wondering where that's coming from, this mean spiritedness.
The little angry guys.
Yeah,
the little skinny angry guys bring the mean spiritedness.
Bring it on, man!
They're bringing the meanness.
Yeah, maybe that's like just the time that we're living in. Everyone's so confused, and I don't know.
But you don't feel that way.
If
somebody gave you a production deal and they said, you know, go develop a sitcom for us, what would it be like?
I would probably just do kind of like a young ensemble cast of, you know, it'd be something like an edgier kind of How I Met Your Mother type show.
All right.
You know, where you just get a, you know, group of young, interesting characters kind of in their late 20s, you know. I call it like Friends.
Right.
Or Neighbors. No, probably something along those lines.
Maybe cast a straight white booze vegetarian lesbian fairy boy trapped in body of recovery transsexual woman patent attorney with a sense of humor and mastery in city planning as the wacky landlord?
I have a draft of that if you want me to send it to you.
I'd like to read it, yeah.
I have a question for you guys, because you guys are in Santa Cruz, so it's real outdoorsy, right?
Fairly,
yeah.
What's so bad about waiting till summertime to go for a hike?
We don't.
I don't.
What? Oh, are you talking about?
I'm talking about these hikers that I've been watching. You know,
in Oregon.
Yeah, where you're just like, really? Did we have to? I know they're professional, but we can't wait till April.
They're trying to get away from their wives.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think this is just their holiday protest. I think it went a little further than they anticipated, but...
I mean, why do people try to scale the Himalayas in the winter, right? I mean, you know, why go to the sun in the day?
Obviously very out of my realm of activities, and it's so tragic and sad, but part of me is like, you know, I don't know, they should have been up there.
There's a Darwin Award in it for someone. That's what you essentially think.
Yeah.
As do I. I mean, I have to admit, every time I hear one of these stories, we're in the harshest storm in X number of years that has been forecast for, you know, about a week and a half now. someone scales some kind of peak that is inaccessible to anyone or anything, right, and they perish, you kind of wonder, what the hell?
Yeah.
What genetic defect is involved? I agree.
And then also I just wonder, too, like I was sick of hearing it after, like, day two. And it's just, I feel like it's just been constantly on. And it's like, are people just really, like, sitting at their edge of their seats? Or are people like, dude, shouldn't have done that.
You are so ready to be wealthy.
Bring it on.
Allie Waller has been our guest. I want to thank you so much for helping us to make 2006 our first year of Schnauzer Logic as a podcast, like an insanely great year. Thank you so much.
Perfect. No, thank you. This is fun.
So you're not going to do any performing until sometime next year?
Yeah, probably not. Nothing worth seeing.
So if I were down in Los Angeles, where could I see you? Probably working over at the Coffee Bean, right? With your laptop, just...
Yeah, that's a last resort, but. But guys, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next year. Have a very happy holiday season and a happy and healthy new year.
All right, you too.
Take care.
Bye bye.
I like her so much.
I do too.
She's such great. A cool person. I hope that she goes as far as she wants and a little bit further.
I hope so.
You know,
so
just
too.
To kind of push her just a little bit further than that, because I just get a sense that there's some just great stuff that could just like.
We've got to go down there sometime, you know, just caravan down and check out one of her comedy events.
Yeah, but apparently she had some kind of blowout with the Tangiers. How's that possible? A comedian having a problem with a comedy club owner?
I've never heard of anything
never,
like
that. Never! Parviz were here, he'd know what to say. all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take another break. We'll play a little bit more tunage. And when we come back, I think we'll be talking with Ken Turetsky, who's, as I say, he's gotten angrier and angrier and angrier. So, good times.
Maybe we can hook him up with Allie.
He looks fairly skinny.
Yeah.
I think he's a nice Jewish boy.
Yeah.
It's a love connection. So, we'll be back in two and two. Stick around.
Around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Okay. This is a song that there's a lot of Christmas songs out there and not too many Hanukkah songs. So wrote a song for all those nice little Jewish kids who don't get to hear any Hanukkah songs. Here we go. So much Hanukkah to celebrate Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Instead of one day of presents, we have eight crazy nights. When you feel like the only kid in town without a Christmas tree, here's a list of people who are Jewish, just like you and me. David Lee Roth lights the menorah. So do James Conkirk Douglas and the late Dinah Shore. Guess who eats together at the Carnegie Deli? Bowser from Shanana and Arthur Fonzarelli. Paul Newman's half Jewish, Goldie Hawn's half too. Put them together, what a fine looking Jew. You don't need deck the halls or Jingle Bell Rock, 'cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish. Put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah. The owner of the Seattle Supersonicas celebrates Hanukkah. O.J. Simpson
not a Jew. But guess who is? Hall of Famer Rod Carew. He converted. We got Ann Landers and her sister, dear Abby. Harrison Ford's a quarter Jewish. Not too shabby. Some people think that Ebenezer Scrooge is. Well, he's not, but guess who is? All Three Stooges. So many Jews are in showbiz. Tom Cruise isn't, but I heard his agent is. Tell your friend Veronica, it's time to celebrate Hanukkah. Oh, get a harmonica on this lovely, lovely Hanukkah. So drink your gin and tonica and smoke your marijuana. Have a happy, 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 happy Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're about 52 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic, our big special holiday episode, number 39. We recorded on Wednesday. It is the 20th of December, 2006. My name is Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal, straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, www.schnauzerlogic.com. Saying welcome back and son of Easter to Sean Meehan.
Son of Easter.
Welcome back and son of Easter to Sherry Stevens.
Son of Easter.
So we've decided that Parvis is obviously not coming today.
I guess not.
Fucker.
Maybe he was just too sweaty and dusty.
Well, God, I hope so. and he too will be spooned by 2007. So I played, that was Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song. And I've been trying to play things, as you know, that get, like, you don't normally hear at this time of year, or any time, really. This would be the time that you'd hear it. And I realize that that's probably the most commercial of the songs that gets played all over the place. Except that I realize that a good percentage of our listeners are not from the United States. I got an email this week from a listener over in the UK that said, thank you for explaining the U.S. pop culture references, because we don't frequently get those shows for 6 months. You know, I mean, there's a delay. And so we don't always know what's going on. If it's a news item, we may know what's going on. We know about Britney, for example. We don't always about these other things. And so it occurred to me, I don't know whether Adam Sandler is big in the UK or Australia or China or any of these places where we... Speaking of China, I have to tell you, you were looking at my sign, my $16 on the air sign.
Right.
You pointed out a defect. I don't think it is a defect, actually. I think it's the nature of the plastic. I think if you actually stand up, you'll see that dot goes away. I think it's just how it was carved. And of course, if Johnny Ives were responsible for it,
I was going to say, no, that would be considered a defect.
Yes, all of the curves would be
hammered for that.
Yes, all of the curves would be would be routed in a way that they could not reflect light, no matter where you stood. I ordered a case for a new MacBook Pro that I got myself for the holidays, kind of replaced my old MacBook. And there's this wonderful case that I have that's kind of a black, crushy material, and I like it because when you pick it up, the outside part of it compresses, so it actually gives you something to hold onto, because these things are so damn smooth that you wind up slipping, they slip out of your hands now. And so there's a Japanese company that makes these cases called Cedia, which is a division of some larger Japanese company that I can't pronounce either. And I try to find out whether they had a larger case, and I've written to the company in Japan a few times now. I never get a response back. And you know that there's somebody in marketing who speaks enough English to say, you know, here's our U.S. distributor, but I can't get any kind of response. But God bless eBay. I went on eBay, and there is, I think, a knockoff. It's either coming from the same factory. It's sort of the extra shift, you know, the right. Midnight to 4 a.m. shift where they run a, you know, one for me, one for you, Doc. One for me, one for you, Doc. Or they just basically figured out that this is a cool thing, and they're making these knockoffs cases. And so I ordered one for my new PowerBook. I figured out the sizes, and I ordered one for my new PowerBook, and it ships out of Hong Kong. Yesterday, in my mailbox is a plastic bag tied up with a little piece of pink string. You know, like how in when you go to Asia, like they wrap string around things? With a piece of pink string, there's about a 2-inch by 2-inch square of envelope that's left. The envelope is long gone. The envelope is somewhere between here and Hong Kong. Long gone. And part of the edge of that is a little green customs note that says that it's been passed. So we get, like, my name, a little bit of the customs note, only part of the, the part of the address is there, the stamps. So it's this kind of jagged thing, and it's kind of stuck to the plastic bag, which is wrapped around with a string. That's in my mailbox. That shows up from China. So I removed the stuff that was there, and I opened it up, and I unfurled the case, and I let it stay, and it's a nice case. I would have bought the Japanese one if they ever would have gotten back to me. So I went on eBay to find out whether I was the only one, because I don't have any bad review. I can't blame the guy for what he did, although they have certain papers overseas that we don't have here. There are grades of paper and thinnesses of paper that are appropriate. I mean, they're thinner than what we would use in our lavatories. I mean, these wonderful thin papers, not really suitable for overseas international mailing. And so I went to leave, positive feedback saying, the case is perfect. It arrived in 7 days after I ordered it, which is like amazing, because I still only paid about $12 for the stupid thing. And I asked him, do you know the guy that makes the signs? And I noticed that other people had complained that they received these things and the packaging was completely shredded. So I'm wondering whether customs thinks that maybe there's something going on there, and they're like, the dogs are getting at them. They sprinkle them with catnip before they let them out of the country, or I don't know what it is. I mean, do you ever notice that kind of stuff when you're...
No, because everything that ships to us is, or we bring them back. We bring things back in our suitcases best we can, so...
Well, anyhow, another guest that we had this year was a fellow who is sort of in the tradition of Tom Lehrer. We've got actually some Tom Lehrer tunes we'll be playing later on today. And other folks who really were musicians in their own right who wrote these wonderful kinds of songs. And his name is Ken Turetsky, and you may know him if you listen to Howard Stern or Sirius Satellite Radio. And he was nice enough to do our show, and he was such a great guest. We got so many nice comments about him that I asked him if he'd be part of our year-end show. And so on the line right now, with any luck, is Ken Turetsky. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
Thanks. Where's my Son of Vista?
Son of Vista, Ken.
Thank you, Robin. What does that mean, Son of Vista?
Son of Vista is a made-up word. It was the 32nd end-of-year explanation is it was supposed to be the name of a show that I was going to be doing at KSCO. It's a merger of two parts, Sonos for sound and Vista, sort of a view of something that's grand that you wouldn't otherwise see. So it was supposed to be a show where you'd hear things that you would not otherwise hear. And after meeting with the same kind of stunned silence that I'm hearing right now from you...
I'm waiting for you to finish. I thought there was a Vista, and Vista had a son. And this was some odd religion that you've adopted.
It could have been, but in fact, it was just a sort of a merger of these two Latin roots. The program director looked at me and said, do you have anything else? How about Daily Coffee Cafe? And so we chose a different name for the program. We wound up calling it Airplay, but I liked that word so much that we repurposed it in the parlance of our time to become a greeting, and it stuck.
I see. Well, what did I ask you? I can't remember.
I don't even know who you are anymore. I just picked up the phone and there was some voice on there.
This is the year-end show where you bring back all the Jews, right?
Well, it's certainly turning out to be that way. After you is Jason Nathanson, and then I think we'll have Judith Regan on to tell us what she thinks about the show.
Oh, so. Judith Regan, my hero, huh? She's finally getting her due.
So we've been talking about that over during the show today. This seems to be the year that people's heads exploded in terms of anti-Semitic and anti-black and I guess Rosie O'Donnell anti-Asian racism.
Well, first let me start out with an N-word invective, just a long string, if you don't mind.
Please,
because really, can I?
Absolutely.
You're going to bleep that. I don't use that word.
Okay.
But there was a point I had to make was Mark Foley had alcohol rehab. and Ted Haggard went into Southern Baptist homo rehab. That's their word. I don't call it that. That's what they call it on the 700 Club. But they had to start up a racist rehab just for Michael Richards so he could repair his reputation. So I figure he comes out and says, I still hate the Schwarzes. And he goes right back in for 30 more days.
He's like a racist groundhog.
Yeah, but he blew the whole thing. He just should have said, that was my act. If you don't like it, you know, suck my dick. Just went on the offensive, and I think it would have blown over.
I think so. Now, are you aware of the whole Rosie O'Donnell Ching Chang thing, I assume?
Yes, yeah.
You ever make any kind of sound effects in your songs to represent a particular ethnicity?
Just a Jerry Lewis.
And I've always been...
Don't hate me.
And what ethnicity is Jerry Lewis, exactly?
He's a Jew. Yes.
So is this an easy time of year for you? Is this a harder time of year for you? You sort of wish that you were Christian. Do you have a Christmas tree?
I'm glad on me. You know, I'm glad I don't have to buy all that many presents. You know, you got to buy a few. You know, just so everybody doesn't hate you. But you know, I'll be sitting around by myself on Christmas. And you know, I do think it's pitiful when people sit at home on Christmas or a Saturday night or New Year's Eve and feel sorry for themselves, because I do that every night. It's not a big deal for me. I got some boxed wine, and you know, I think that stuff's it's pretty good if you ignore the taste. And I just think at the end of the year I can reflect on the fact that I'm no longer the young and ambitious loser I used to be, and I just have to adapt. I lay awake at night thinking about all the women I didn't fuck, and you know, that ship has sailed, and you know, I'll move on, and I'll look forward to my 2007 appearances on Schnauzer Logic.
Well, you know, there's a lot more women that you're not going to fuck, so there's
you
got that going for you.
I feel a lot better. There'll be just a greater distance in the ages between me and the women I can't fuck.
Yeah. But I gotta diagram that sentence. I'm not sure if it's funny or creepy.
Just go ahead and bleep me wherever you feel it's necessary.
That's fine. Well, we had you on last time because you're a talented songwriter, but we wound up getting into sort of life in general, and you sort of seemed, I don't know, cranky's not the right word, but you seem a bit misanthropic about life in general, and you sort of, does this happen to you as you've gotten older? Was this how you were when you were younger? Were you kind of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and the world just kind of beat it out of you?
Exactly. I mean, you obviously live through it. I mean,
that'll be $120, please.
I get older, and I get more poverty-stricken. I just don't understand it. You know, I think what Sherry was talking about, her computer problems.
Oh, yeah.
That was the last show. I listened.
Yep.
See, I
sure.
do listen. And, you know, my hard drive crashed, too.
I'm sorry.
I picked up my fucking computer, and I threw it out the window, and it smashed into the driveway. It crashed. You know, that's how I feel about computers. And, you know, I hate fucking computers, and I don't like working on them either.
I was going to say, that makes it all the more painful that those women aren't coming around.
Well, yeah, you know, the computer does have its uses. If you know how to take advantage of them. But no, my motherboard died. And then I couldn't boot the hard drive, and I was really terrified. It's a horrible, horrible feeling. And it actually turned out it was this security program that's supposed to save you from crashing. I don't know if
really?
We should say horrible things about retail products.
Sure.
On the program. It's called Norton Go Back. Don't use it.
Okay. Norton Gay Evac.
But I fixed it. Somebody showed me how to fix it, and I got my data back. But it took 3 weeks of just screwing around with this computer, and my car, it didn't die, but the brake line just started pouring fluid out, and it corroded apparently because the previous owner lived in Michigan, got all rusty, but. That car was a great source of income because I would just park it somewhere and wait for somebody to run into it. And then I would collect from the insurance, and I had to take a crowbar and pry the door back open.
So this was an important revenue stream that you've lost.
Yes. I'll have to get a job now. And so I had to replace the car. And that is, oh, man, buying a car.
Are you good at that kind of thing? Are you kind of a good negotiator?
Yeah, I can haggle.
All right.
But I met an even tougher negotiator, this one of these Eastern European guys.
Uh-oh.
You know, my family's, you know, Eastern European immigrants, but these guys are businessmen. The guy's going, well, I'm selling it for my friend, and it has Michelin tires. She spent $600 on it. My minimum is $47.50. I won't go below. I'm going, look, okay, I got $4,700 here for you. I told you, $47.50. Are you deaf? You know, they don't even pretend to be polite. And meanwhile, I got messages on my machine from, hello, this is true. Hello, Ken, this is Mr. Fong. I am selling my Hyundai Sonata. I have not heard back from you. And I didn't buy Mr. Fong's car, but I ended up buying this very nice Honda Accord.
Good.
I'm happy with it, and I can't park this car without turning around to look at it to make sure it's still there. I mean, it's clearly too good for me, and it's only a '97 Accord, so you can see, you know, how bad things have been. But I think it's a chick car, you know. If I could get a date, then it would be a good chick car. I think a woman would be very impressed. Maybe I'll get a chance to find out. I don't know.
What color is it, Kim?
It's black. Can you still say that word? And because it's been raining here, it's just all shiny and
wow.
And so far, you know.
Are you gonna kind of trick it out like those little, you know, like, what is it, the Fast and the Furious? You know, where they get these little Hondas and then they kind of soup them up with. NOS and stuff like that, or
no? I'm Jewish. We don't do that. But the previous owner.
Are you going to use premium?
premium gas in it. That would be really stretching it. Previous owner. She didn't put an alarm system. She put a blinking light in it. So that's as tricked up as this car is. You flip the switch when you get out of the car, and the light blinks. And I guess that means. You know, don't break in.
Well, no, you pray that the car thief have epilepsy.
Right, it's a very narrow. Set them up into a fit.
It's a very narrow group of car thieves, and I mean, that'll just knock it time perfectly.
Look, I know
they're just
about
looking
alarms,
to get some money
airbags,
and get their
dime. Never had a car with all these luxuries.
But you're not worthy.
Four wheels.
You're not worthy. I mean, you know, really. Have you ever purchased a new car?
Actually, see, this is. I started out, I used to save my money and then buy a new car and just watch the salesman's face drop when he says, you know, how would you like to finance this?
Uh-huh.
And I'd say, well, I'm paying cash. But you could get a new car not too long ago for $8,000-$9,000 because
sure.
They had all the rebates and everything.
Sure, sure.
It's not the same.
No, it isn't. It isn't the same. So you're having some trouble with your cars. You're having some trouble with your computer now.
Not anymore. I patched me together a new used computer and.
Okay.
And I have no worries anymore.
Oh, so 2007 is going to be a good year.
Yeah,
it's gonna spoon him.
That would be great.
What are you the kind of guy that makes resolutions?
No, I don't make any promises, especially to myself, because that would require then discipline. I don't need to lose weight or anything. That seems to be the only resolution people make. What other resolution are you going to make? Other than I'm too fat, I'm going to lose 50 pounds. And then they don't do it anyway. So maybe I'll gain 50 pounds.
Give me something to do in 2008.
Yeah. I didn't tell you that... you're not the only Goldstein. my friend Josh Allen Friedman, son of Bruce J. Friedman, since you're all very
the writer, absolutely, you know. Sure.
Yeah. He's a Dallas musician and author, very talented in both respects, and co-wrote Al Goldstein's autobiography, you know, the pornographer?
Screw Magazine?
Yes. And
sure.
Josh actually worked for Al, so... I get invited to the book signing party, which is being hosted at one of those upscale strip clubs in Dallas. It's a lady owns it, and she's promoting the book because Al Goldstein made the world safe for pornographers, apparently,
mm-hmm.
And she really felt a debt to him. So I first thing, another weird thing, is the day of the Al Goldstein dinner and book signing, I'm sitting at a coffee shop with a buddy of mine, another unemployed musician, and this woman walks up and starts acting all familiar. It turns out she knows my buddy, and she and I start making eyes at each other. It turns out her name is Goldstein. And I say, look, if you're not doing anything, you want to go meet a distant relative of yours tonight and, you know, get a book? And she says, yeah, sure, I'd love to go. And I say, okay. And we actually went up the street and had a beer, and she says, I definitely want to go. So you just give me an hour to get ready and then pick me up, and okay. So, I mean, this shows you the negative trend. I am really slipping. In that 1 hour, she decided not to take my call, that we weren't going out.
She Googled it.
You think she Googled me and found
she Googled,
her shit, don't
she either,
you think?
Yeah, she either Googled you or she probably, did she know who Al Goldstein was?
Oh, well, I don't think she'd care about Al Goldstein. It was me.
Yeah.
I'm the attraction here. It takes one date before women dump me. This is an hour. And I know this type of girl. She's a party girl. She smokes and drinks, and she'll do you really hard. And you know, and in a month, it's all over. You have a fight, but everybody's happy.
By everybody, you mean you.
And her name was Goldstein, too. It was cool. I'm meeting all these Goldsteins. And so anyway, I went to the party, and Al Goldstein, you know, he's talking about First Amendment rights and other things that pornographers always talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh comes up to me and says, you know, Al isn't going to be around very long, and he's only really going to get his respect after he's gone, so you better go get this book signed. I said, okay. So I'm waiting online, and Al signs the book, and it says, blow Josh and charge him. and I'm walking away, and this is the owner of a strip club, and did I tell you it's an upscale strip club?
You did, in Dallas.
Okay. And she says, let me see what... Did Al sign your book? Let me see. And she opens the book, and she says, oh, my God, the man's disgusting. This is the most puritanical strip club owner, you know, you'd ever meet. So it was a pleasant evening.
Well, you're having a wonderful life.
I just try and make notes in case anybody asks me about it.
Are you writing new songs? Do you sort of get into a place where you write a bunch of them at once, or you write them sort of spread out across the year?
I keep a notebook, and
gotcha.
Then I try and sometimes it's better when something comes to you all at once. It really is. Mm-hmm. Melody and words. I've got tons of scraps of melody and scraps of notes, and even Paul McCartney says that just doesn't work. You've got to really put it together all at once. But I've got plenty of ideas. Maybe something will come together.
So
I know you're sick of the same five or six songs.
Well,
I don't blame you.
We're looking for some new tunage, and I'm guessing you're still now. There, I noticed on your website. I'll be honest, I didn't dig down deeply, but I noticed on your website that there was some controversy about some of your songs.
Where? When?
Was it on Sirius or Dr. Demento, or where you couldn't play them anymore? Am I thinking of someone else?
Well, it could be Her Shit Don't Stink.
That's
it. It's been banned here and there.
That's it. How could they ban that?
Well, it's I guess it's good to get banned. There's still very straight-laced people out there. Even these guys with internet radio shows, and they don't need to censor anything, but that it's just the tradition they come from. They don't think of it that way. They don't want to hear obscenity. But just let me say very quickly, Her Shit Don't Stink is up for Song of the Year on the Red Peter show on Sirius.
How cool is that?
How outstanding.
This. Red Peter's having his special, a 3.5-hour special, and year-end countdown show. He's picking the top 16 songs.
Cool.
This will be Saturday, December 30th, and then Sunday, December 31st at 8 p.m. Eastern for anybody who's got Sirius. Does anybody have Sirius Radio yet?
Sure. Well, they have a. They've got a few million subscribers at this point, and they've got the ability to listen online. So you don't even actually need a Sirius Radio. You can just subscribe online. I know that they were having free for a while.
And, couple of days, yeah.
And the other thing that's true is I know that this is true for XM. I'm guessing it's true for Sirius. They're okay with you sharing your password with your friends for the online kind of stuff.
Really? Yeah.
XM is like, if you want to give your name and password to your friends so that they can listen online, that's fine with us, you know, because then they'll get hooked on it and then they want to listen to that stuff all over the place. I'm guessing Sirius is the same. So if you know people that have Sirius, I could get my brother-in-law's. And then we have about 1,000 people out there all signing in as Tommy Grunfeld. Good time.
Well, fine. I'm sure they appreciate you giving away their product. But here's the thing. There's this whole ballot stuffing process, and you can go to Sirius.com.
Okay.
Starting noon Eastern Wednesday, the next Wednesday, the 27th, through January 10th, and you can stuff the box for her shit don't stink. You can vote over and over. I seriously am going to need about 100,000 votes to finish respectably, to get in there and... help me not be embarrassed.
We have some incredible listeners with OCD that don't have a lot to do. In fact, I know a young woman down in Los Angeles has got a lot of free time until her show starts again. So
she's obsessive, right? The thing is, just, you know, channel her obsession just for 2 weeks to this one website, and she can't stop voting for her shit don't stink. Because I'm not going to do it. I got more important things to do.
You
got to
go keep an eye on that new car.
Uh-huh. You're also happy and upbeat. Why is that?
I like how the onus is on you.
Hey,
you're happy. What's wrong with you? When did you get so fucking healthy? Well, I mean, I'm happy because I'm in a room here with my friends talking to someone who's making me laugh every 20 seconds. That's why I'm laughing.
Is that Parviz or Sean or Sherry? Or?
Well, it was Sherry and Sean. And Parviz, actually, now that you mention, he walked in as you were talking to us. You want to say Sona Vista to Ken?
Sona Vista, Ken?
Oh, yeah. I'll say Sona Vista back to you. Parviz, are you really Jewish?
No, I'm Persian.
Well, you could be both.
Okay. It's Christmas, right?
That's really what I wanted to say.
Wow. It's a fucking Iranian miracle.
But you're a funny, funny guy.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very nice.
Well, I wasn't talking to you.
Not you.
When I listen to it. But there's so many voices, sometimes I can't separate one from another. I do tend to lose track a little bit.
As long as it's all funny.
Yes. Yes, very good. Very good program.
You want to give him a little ding, 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 ding.
Is that Rosie O'Donnell?
Yeah, that's Rosie. Yeah,
that's Rosie climaxing.
Good.
That's exactly what it sounds like. I heard.
So, are you going to be doing more live performing, more recording in 2007?
Yes, I will. I will do both. I promise.
Really?
Yes.
All right. You're gonna leave the Dallas area, and maybe people can see it in other parts of the country?
I'll do that, too. Doesn't John, isn't he doing some Jew tour or something? Some
what?
Where he gets Jewish comedians.
Oh, yeah, John DeCole.
He shows them around the country.
He is. He's doing, that sort of became big in San Francisco, kind of the kosher comedy.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, because I have my own Jew collar comedy tour I've been planning. Actually, it's just a name. I just made up the name.
I love it.
I'm trademarking it right now, John. So it's going to be a comedy tour. That's what it is. Or you could pay me enough, and I will jump ship, and I'll get on your what do you call it?
It's a cabal. Tour. That's what it is. It's a fucking cabal.
A cruise ship or something. So I'd be happy to bomb in cities, you know, other cities in Dallas. You know, I'm tired of bombing here.
You'd be terrific on John's show. I mean, you could easily headline one of John's shows.
Oh, I'm promoted to headliner from not even being in the show.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
I can book John's show.
That's the kind of advancement you can expect when you know us.
Wow. Yeah, comedy's really happening business.
Yeah, you just skyrocket to mediocrity just by standing near us.
Comedy and then telemarketing, right? So there were a couple notes I actually made on, because a couple things came up. I think this both in the last show. Is it Eliza or Eliza?
Oh, Eliza Alfrichtig.
you were talking about the teacher, the art teacher who was suspended for when the student saw the naked sculpture. Do you remember that story, or is that too distant now?
Thanks for shaking your head, Parviz.
I do remember that.
We've been gone for 2 weeks.
That rang a bell, you know, because that was right here. That was in Frisco, which is a northern suburb of Dallas.
Really?
And it's a typical thing, you know, that would happen in a suburb, especially here, but it could have happened in Kansas or, you know, Iowa or something. But that was a fifth-grade field trip, and some kids happened to see a nude, a 2,000-year-old nude sculpture. And this whole thing had been cleared in advance, and there were, like, 12 parents, 4 teachers, a museum docent. Everybody had signed release forms. And then they fired this woman because one kid complained later. Probably mentioned it to a parent who complained. And of course, then they trashed this poor woman's reputation.
Older women turn people on. You shouldn't. you shouldn't expose them to that.
Now's the time to pounce. I smell rebound.
Okay, so that's just a little clarification. I got to give Dallas its props.
Okay,
but the other thing that I really thought was a good story was it Sean's story about the masturbating ape?
Yeah,
that was a great story, but. It also reminded me of something else, because at the Dallas Zoo here, the masturbating ape is a featured attraction. Every hour, it's like, see the masturbating ape. And, it, you know, it's such a contrast to the teacher getting fired, you know. Saw a piece of classic sculpture.
Every hour.
Yeah, but, you know, I hear it's not even the same ape every show, but they're like any,
well,
who
that's
can
a
tell,
chip.
You know. All those apes look alike.
How would the...
it's very, you know, it's wrong.
How would the students students react if there was a sculpture of a masturbating ape?
I really... They think they were at the zoo, and it was... They see that at the zoo all the time. That's nature. Put a diaper on the ape.
Anything else we should be clarifying in 2006?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very political. So I've been thinking that things are going to have to change in this country, and I think the people are going to have to rise up and get it done, just like, you know, the people sometimes have to do. The simple, plain-spoken, common folk. And I just want to ask the people, when they do rise up and change things, just don't hurt the Jews. We are fucking scared of the people. And I know it's coming, you know, and I just don't want to be dragged out of my home and burned alive. So.
Don't touch the car! Yeah.
But I'm not letting you talk.
No, that's fine. I'm just kind of basking in your warmth of human kindness here. Instead of a Yule log, I'm just going to...
Well, these are our concerns that we minorities have. You know? And remember this, we can't be racist or bigoted because we're minorities. Jewish people. And,
you wonder why he doesn't get more airtime.
I interviewed for a job, you know. I really don't want one, but I'm highly trained in a field, you know. I'm not interested in anymore. I think a lot of us go through that, us artistic people. And
I heard the ape complaining about that.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
That was dehydration talking.
And that's how I feel, but that's how Sean feels, so I don't want to steal that.
Well, you've been a well-known sports writer.
Will you let me finish that other story?
I'm sorry. Of course.
So the agency, will call and try and pitch me on a job, and they'll say...
MI5.
Right. Yeah, it's really, it's that exciting. And so I go out, and I interview at this place, they offer me the job copywriting the spring catalog for this company that's bigger than every other company on the entire planet. And the woman's looking at me, and she says, Ken, you know, are you ready to start Monday? Would you like this job? And I'm just sitting there in her office, and all I could think was, where the hell is my record contract? You know, do I get my HBO special now, or do I have to tour for a while first? You know, which is it going to be? And it turns out that's not what she was offering. It was just a job copywriting the spring catalog for the biggest company on the planet. And I just couldn't take it. I just had to leave. So
you didn't take the job?
I didn't take the job. What an idiot I am. Now I'm broke.
I don't see a lot of premium in your future.
Thank you. It's getting bad here. I'm making bad decisions, really.
You think?
And Robin, you know, I couldn't even get the time and day straight when you contacted me.
Well, it's a common mistake by third graders. No, but we need to start a PayPal account for you to let people donate a dollar.
Come on, just get me on the Jew tour,
the Jew collar tour.
I don't take charity. I mean, you can I'll bum $5 off you and I won't pay it back. But I'd rather you thought of me as a deadbeat than a charity.
Who knew that there were angry Jews in Texas? Did you know?
There's only two or three other Jews.
I didn't.
We're all alone.
It was an off-Broadway show, The Angry Jews of Texas.
I had no idea. It's the lone and cranky Jew state.
It's just me.
Somehow I feel better.
Yeah, don't tar and feather, you know, an entire race of your brothers and sisters just on the basis of me, because I'm just doing this professionally. I'm being cranky for, I hope to be cranky for a living.
Well, you we wish you the worst. I don't know. We wish you we can't even wish you a happy Hanukkah. Ken Turetsky, it's kentoretsky.com is the website. We're looking for people to push you over the edge at Red Peters.
Yeah, you can go to redpeters.com and he'll have the ballot up. Again, that show, that end of the year show, is December 30th and December 31st at 8 p.m. Eastern for Sirius Radio listeners. But you don't got to be a listener to go to Sirius.com and vote for Her Shit Don't Stink.
We just got to go vote for Her Shit Don't Stink.
Vote early, vote often.
Absolutely.
And then I can just put that song to bed and do some new ones, all right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That might help with the HBO thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what do I know? I'm sitting in a second bedroom talking to my friends.
But you've made my day by just calling me and asking me to come on your show and complain.
Oh, God.
Love you.
We do. We love you. It's great. And I'm glad we were able to get into a couple of other things this time. KenTuretsky.com. We will put a link on the blog for both your website and also directly to Sirius. And we'll see whether we can get some of our nimble-fingered listeners to maybe push you over the edge there.
Oh, thanks. And happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
All those great things.
To everybody.
And we'll talk to you in 2007.
Absolutely. We'll talk. You know, I'll make that promise to talk sports with you again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm all about the sports.
Yeah, we'll be in the downhill slope on the NBA. And
you can't say slope. Barbies?
Yes.
Okay, my Persian friend.
have a great holiday and a happy new year.
Okay, you too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye, Ken.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
I love him too.
He's funny.
He's a funny guy. Yeah, he's terrific. He brings it. Every time he comes, he brings it. Yeah. I knew that they would be terrific for our last show of the year. All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll take a quick break. Parviz is in the studio. We're glad that you're able to make it.
Thank you.
We'll get Jason on the phone. We'll come back. We'll talk with Jason. We got some more stuff going on. Listen to Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sean Mee, and Sherry Stevens, and our good friend Parviz Vitali.
Son of Easter, my brother.
Son of Easter.
We want to hear what happened with the whole thing.
Absolutely.
All right, stick around.
Gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
Happy Christmas, Kelco. Happy
Christmas, Julie. So this is Christmas. And what have you done?
I've ever heard. Really?
Well, this is the best 10,000 watt station you've ever heard.
Oh, man. There's no doubt about that.
Oh,
what was I talking about?
I've no idea.
What was I going to do?
You were going to play some music to introduce our guest, which is Jason Nathanson.
Oh, I was.
That's the VW bus music, but you may not have it.
I don't have it.
Well,
so
you can play something. Anything will do.
Here we go.
Welcome back. We're about an hour and 35 minutes into this special Christmas holiday Kwanzaa. You said that today was, we're now into the solstice, winter solstice?
Yes, at 4:22 today.
4:20, baby.
Woo! 22.
And two. Woo!
Dude.
And what's so cool is that that means from this point forward, the days start getting longer.
That is correct.
Yes.
That's what I mean, people are like, oh, it's winter. It's like, no, no, this means every day we get a little more sunshine.
That
like,
is correct.
True. We're on the other side. I'm so much happier.
It is so dark in the morning.
Oh,
I'll bet, Parviz, I'll bet you get out early in the morning, don't you?
Yes, I do. I get out about 5:30 in the morning, get to work by 6.
Wow. So I get up at 6:30 and it is still dark. Yep. It's hard to get out.
And yeah, outside. I'm up by like 9:30 or 10 and usually, and then right back.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for Allie to call. And she's waiting for Koretsky. All these out of work Jews. Very creative, very, very bitter. Be there.
Now, did you get that sound at the KSCO Christmas party as I suspect you did?
I meant to play that for the introduction for our guest, and I unfortunately pushed the button a little bit too soon, but let's get right into that here.
I bought a bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of $100,000 bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels in
the all Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels in
the all Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels in
the all Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
57 channels in
the. You know him, you love him, you can't get enough of him. The Doctor of Rogaine, Jason Nathanson, son of Easter, my friend. Welcome to Schnauzer Logic.
Son of Easter.
You know, I thought it wouldn't be funny after we played it a few weeks ago, but it's still funny.
It's still funny. It holds up.
How are you? Happy holidays.
Thank you. Thank you. Let me be the first to congratulate you on being named Times Person of the Year. I know it's been a hard year for you, so this is worth it.
Oh, man. You know, we haven't really talked a whole lot about that on the show today, but when I mentioned it to Sean earlier, his eyes rolled, and everyone... Now, do you guys all know about this?
No.
So you know that Time Magazine, big news weekly here in the United States, is kind of two. There's Time and Newsweek. And I guess since 1926, they've had what started off was the Man of the Year on the cover around this year. The person who influenced the world, so to speak, it's their, you know, the editors get together and decide that whether it's Bill Clinton or Adolf Hitler or whatever it is. And then a few years ago, they started to branch out. Of course, there was a Woman of the Year.
Right.
And then they had like the Machine of the Year. I think the personal computer was like the Machine of the Year. And this year, the Person of the Year, they've decided, is you. And so there's a little mirror on the cover. So everyone is the Person of the Year. A real cop-out. And the idea behind this whole thing is that, I guess, well, Jason, you can talk about it, right? I mean, it's right up your alley.
Yeah, it's really good for snorting coke off of, actually. That's in reference to all the people on the internet and who've been creating content, and everybody's basically been a star since everybody can create media these days. So good job to everybody.
So this wasn't designed to salute my visionary work in the field of masturbation. Which
I think you and the ape tied actually.
If you brought the reflection down to your crotch.
Now, do you remember, you hear people talk about this, they go, if everyone is special, then no one is special?
Pretty much. I mean, it's the 15 minutes of fame, everybody's going to have it, so it lessens the impact of everybody's fame.
And this feels like a cop-out. Why do you think they went down this route?
It's a total cop-out, partially because I think I heard the editor talk about the one person that they were considering highest was probably Ahmadinejad.
Mahmoud.
Yeah.
We call him Manny.
We call him Manny on the show. And I think they got a kind of queasy feeling of doing that, so they went with this. And I don't know who came up with it. I mean, an intern probably came up with it. It's so stupid.
Well, and that's the end of the show.
Well, I mean, is there much more to add?
No,
I mean,
just stupid.
Right. I think you've summed it up beautifully with that phrase. It's just stupid.
I don't know anyone that I've talked to that thinks that this is a good idea. And I saw an interview. Actually, The Daily Show was showing a little bit of the interview that I guess one of the editors had with Soledad O'Brien. Mm. And the editor was so pleased with himself. He thought that people would really go buy the magazine because there was a little mirror on the cover. And
we're all cats.
Yeah, parakeets, right?
Well, wasn't that a joke in The Big Lebowski?
Yes.
I mean, I'm serious. This is a joke in a comedy film.
Yes.
The very rich Lebowski, one of the characters in the film, has in his den, along with the pictures of himself with famous people and various different awards, a picture, a little framed Time magazine moniker, a little masthead, with a mirror
right
behind it, and you were the man of the year.
I have one right by my front door. Have you noticed when you guys walk out of here? I have one by my front door. It's how I check myself before I walk out to make sure there's no spinach between my teeth.
I am in such a hurry. I don't...
Well, it's a tragedy, and yet, you know, we've talked a lot about YouTube and blogs and kind of self-created media, and you are in the legitimate media. I mean, you're sort of in old-school media, right? You're in radio.
Legitimate, sure. The red-headed stepchild of media, radio.
Well, let me tell you, my friend, I mean, you know, there's this kind of print journalism and broadcast journalism, and that's kind of really what we're talking about here, and you're part of broadcast journalism.
Partially a good point on the fact that print journalism is kind of a dying breed. Newspaper sales are down across the country. Time and Newsweek are no longer as relevant as they once were. So
they
definitely got a lot of press by doing this, and maybe that's just what they wanted. You know, it doesn't matter if it's good press or bad press. Press is press. So, you know, they got people talking, and they got the name of the magazine out there. So maybe that was their goal.
I agree with you. It was a stupid kind of thing to do. And yet, the other thing that I think is interesting is we talk about blogs, we talk about YouTube. We're sort of inside that space, right? This is a podcast show. This is not a show that's on terrestrial radio. We do a blog. We don't send out a physical magazine or a newspaper. We write probably as many words as you would in a small newspaper, but we don't send anything out physically. And so I wonder whether we're operating in our own little rarefied space where we're just kind of, you know, it's us and the apes.
Sure, but that's, you know what, we're actually kind of regressing, because in the old days, that's what media used to be, small community newspapers that people in a certain area, a couple thousand people, would consume on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, and that's, we've kind of gone back to our small little tribes. We just have a lot more of them. You know, the blog community is a small little tribe, a podcast community is a small little tribe, and we've been able to, as people, come together around things that we enjoy. We're not just, you know, bound by geographic location anymore. We can actually choose the community we want to be a part of and the media we want to consume and enjoy that little community. So it's a step forward and a step back at the same time.
Can you hold on a second?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Jason's new website is spinningthegreat.com. Parviz is here, and now Parviz is leaving.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I have to go.
First of all, you have to tell us what happened with Jason. Can we steal like 2 seconds from you and let Parviz tell us what happened?
I only have to get up at 2 in the morning.
Okay, that's fine.
Wow.
Do you have to and crawl around in really ugly coveralls? Do you have to do that, Jason?
No, I don't have to do that.
Okay, fine. Okay, great. What happened?
2 weeks ago or so, apparently my boss went to the hearing with the other gentleman that...
The one who filed the complaint against you, the charges?
Yeah, the one that filed the complaint was there. The one I was working with was there.
Okay.
And my boss was there.
Okay.
And from what I heard, he just fessed up and he had no excuses. And he said, yeah, it's pretty much all my fault. I told him they can go out there and work. And so they just reamed him and said, do you realize you're taking jobs away from our union workers? And
sure.
How would you like it if we had you call right now 10 of our people on the waiting list and you told them that you stole their job? And so they asked him, why didn't you call and clear them? And he said, it was 6 in the morning and a lot of things were going on. And they said, okay, but on this day it was 6 in the morning, but the week before while they were working, why didn't you call? And he had nothing to say.
Wow.
Yeah. And so the company's going to get fined. The gentleman who I was working with is going to get fined.
Wow.
I might get fined, but they said something to the point of, let's dismiss or let's excuse the apprentice.
Oh, cool.
And the guy I was working with is going to get fined. His bill will be paid by our company. And it was pretty much, because they asked the man who was working with me, they said, what do you have to say? He said, well, I was told to work there by who? Well, by him. And he just pointed at his boss. They said, is that true? And he said, yes, it is true. Did you clear? He says, no. Why didn't you clear? And then they went on, and he had nothing to say. He was busted.
Wow.
And it's kind of commendable that he went there and he...
He took the hit.
Yeah, he took the hit. He could have easily not shown up and
would have fallen on you.
Yeah, it would have. But he was there, and he said, "Yeah, it's I don't know where my head was." Blah blah blah. He just threw all these excuses, and then a lot of ass kissing and stuff like that.
Okay.
And they treated it like a trial. The guy who caught us was there, and he was the plaintiff. We were the defendant, and that was it.
Wow. Did they have like that pyramid thing that you saw when they have a trial sometimes with it?
Yeah. And apparently, Doug Llewellyn was outside to talk to us.
How do you think that went?
And you see, like, the plaintiff off.
Are you
the
happy
side.
With the results?
Are you happy? Okay, you're going to have to walk around the corner and sign some papers.
Well, I'm sorry you can't stay around
I'm
any
so
longer.
I'm so sorry.
Where the hell do you have to go that's more important than...
It's Friday, I worked 18 hours straight. Last Friday, 6 in the morning till midnight. Today, I worked 12 hours. Tomorrow's supposed to be another 18. Friday's supposed to be another 12.
Jason, what time do you have to get up in the morning?
2 o'clock.
Thank you.
I love everybody on the podcast and the podcast world. I had to come here and say happy holidays.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
This was your big Christmas show.
I know. I got dressed up for the show. I totally got dressed up for the show. You liked my beard and my hat?
As a chimney sweeper.
Yeah.
And your ass? What?
Fireman.
I brought a little elf. Come on in. Of course, Robin looks.
It's consolidated American. What? I don't know what that means, but it was funny.
But anyways, I love you all, and thank you so much. And
we'll see you in 2007.
See you in 2007.
All right. I got to move.
Okay, love you, bye. Guy. Consolidated American. That's rather beautiful. There's no stigma there at all.
When the ice comes and the snow, and it's 48 below, and then the temperature begins to fall, and they hear the moan and whine of the frozen water line, then the plumber is the man who saves them all. Oh, the plumber is the man, the plumber is the man. Down into the cellar he must crawl, he must crawl. He is not sleek or slim, and they all look down on him, but the plumber is the man who saves them all.
Well, thanks for giving up a little of your time there, Jay.
No problem.
That's I'm glad it worked out for him.
Anything from Parviz.
People love him. People love him. They don't understand him.
Well, they love Corky on that show.
Yeah, it wasn't eight is enough, is it?
No.
No, I'm thinking...
Life goes on.
Life goes on, that's right. Yeah, I'm thinking of Dick Van Patten.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, so it's we're moving on here. What's going on? It's the end of the year. There's all kinds of lists with movies and television. What's crossed your desk?
Well, it's definitely list time, and this is the thing that makes a radio producer's job really easy at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You just sit and talk about these lists. The one that applies to us in this segment is TiVo's top TV. Is the music getting louder?
Oh, sorry. Oh, you said Skivo. Where do I buy one of those?
TiVo's top TV moments of 2006. What they did was a survey of their users. And which is kind of weird, because TiVo actually has the ability to check what its clients watch.
Sure.
And they didn't do that. They did a regular old-fashioned poll. I think partially because they don't want people to really be reminded that they're spying on you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So coming in at number 10 on the poll, Connie Chung attempting a sultry serenade of Maury Povich.
Oh, yeah.
It's always funny. This is definitely an oh, yeah moment.
That was like one of the last shows with the Connie and Maury show on MSNBC.
Right. And she got all dolled up in kind of a lounge singer outfit and splayed herself across the piano.
Kind of like a thanks for the memories kind of
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. And it made pretty much every cable show of that week.
Right, all the clip shows.
Yeah. And so that was pretty funny. Number nine.
Was that the end of their marriage, by the way? Because wasn't their divorce in their future?
No, they're still together as far as I know. But,
see,
you know.
Parviz left too early because when you said Connie Chung.
Well, we can do it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Very good.
Speaking of ding, 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 number nine, Rosie O'Donnell's debut on The View. I don't know if I'd call that really a top TV moment of 2006, but it definitely is one that's made a lot of noise.
She's turned that show around.
I think she's definitely made it better.
Isn't that amazing? She has turned that show around. I've actually started to flip in every now and then to see who she's pissing off today.
But if you're going to put a moment from The View on this list, I think what serves to be on there better is when Star Jones announced she was leaving in
yes.
the middle of the show.
Yes.
And then Barbara Walters pretty much got all pissed and smacked her down. That was a little better View moment in my mind.
Number eight.
Number eight on the list, Kate and Sawyer get together on Lost. I mean, I like the show and everything, but I don't really care. I mean, that's not a huge blockbuster moment that everybody was talking about all year. And neither is number seven, Will and Grace series finale in which their kids start dating. I'm not a big Will and Grace fan.
In which their who starts dating?
Their kids.
Their kids.
Yeah.
Will and Grace have kids?
No, they. She gets married and he adopts, and so they meet again when they're older. That show went out with a whimper.
So it was like a flash future episode?
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like what Mad About You did when they sort of show up again and they're all gray and stuff like that, and they've divorced and...
Gotcha. Well, if it didn't work for Mad About You, then definitely bring it back on Will and Grace. That was
brilliant.
Chimes a charm.
Number six, and this is an image seared in my mind, I know, Kirstie Alley's bikini reveal on Oprah.
I have to say, I saw that. I couldn't.
Like a car wreck, I did too.
Yep. Had to see it.
And yep. It's definitely, it's replaced the hot Cheers Kirstie Alley. It kicked her right out of my mind. And now the bikini clap.
Do you know the story behind this? I don't know if Sean's looking bemused, confused.
Kirstie Alley, last I heard, she was on, what, Fat Actress?
Right, and that was canceled. And then she lost a lot of weight with Jenny Craig.
Jenny.
And she wanted to show off her new body. And so she went on Oprah, I think it was about a month ago, and was wearing a bikini.
She promised Oprah that if she lost some number of pounds, was it 50 pounds or 100 pounds or 200? I think she said if she lost 200 pounds, maybe 250, if she lost 250 pounds, mm-hmm. then she would come on Oprah's show in a bikini.
Now, doesn't that sound like a deal a lesbian would make?
Hey. Oprah and Stedman spent the weekend at home working on their own sham relationship. That's why they didn't go to Tom Cruise's wedding. Okay?
Gotcha.
That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
All right.
Number five, Faith Hill's reaction to Carrie Underwood's yes. win at the CMA Awards.
Yes. Have you guys seen that?
No.
It was all over YouTube, all over the clip shows.
She was standing in the wings. I guess she had just sung something. And so she was one of those things where, you know, they sing between the songs, you know, the nominees. And then she was standing in the wings. The camera was on her. And they do that little quad thing where they have the four nominees in each of the different sections. And I think she thought she was going to win because when they announced the name, she kind of made a move towards
She mouthed, oh, fuck, or something like that.
That was not her first move, though. If you notice, the first thing she does is she actually, her body leans into moving back towards the center of the stage.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then, so that's why I don't think it was a joke, unless she's like the world's greatest fucking actress.
Yeah, see, a lot of people thought it was a joke. She mouthed the profanity that was visible on television and then stomped off and then later claimed, oh, I knew the camera was on me. I was doing that for effect.
Yeah, yeah. Hysterical. She should meet Ken Turetsky. He knows
Hill.
Funny.
The Lucille Ball of our generation. Number four, Sarah and Grissom get together on CSI. I don't even understand that sentence, so because I don't watch the show. So Sarah and Grissom, apparently that was a big hookup. Number three, Oprah tells author James Fry he betrayed readers. That was good TV, if you remember that. James Fry came out with the book where he basically lied about his experiences with drug addiction and stuff, or you know, fabricated some stuff. And Oprah had him on the show and really kind of lit into him, dressed him down. So that was good TV. Number two, Mel Gibson's interview with Diane Sawyer after his DWI arrest.
Wow.
I didn't see that.
These are things that I guess people said that they watched instead.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing.
Really?
None of this really pops into my head when I think about the best moments of 2006.
No.
But 2006 wasn't really... Last year was a banner year. I think last year we had, Peter Jennings signed off, Dan Rather signed off.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise jumped on the couch. Last year was a really big TV moment year, and this year has been kind of a whimper.
Okay.
And number one, Katie Couric's last day on Today.
I have to let Kipadada speak for me.
Oh, that's shit. It's shit.
You probably couldn't hear that.
No, I couldn't hear that.
It's what makes these segments so much funnier.
Oh, I love it.
I play the sound effects. You have no idea what I'm doing.
Katie Couric, I mean, that was pretty much milquetoast. I think Matt Lauer teared up a little bit. It was nice. But, I mean, also more interesting sociologically for 2006 would be Katie Couric's debut as news anchor on CBS.
Sure.
That would be a little more important, but, you know, I don't know who they surveyed TiVo users, I guess, and that's what they came up with.
I saw a commercial for Katie Couric's CBS News program, and it was quite conversational, and Katie was saying, you know, let's look at the world events together, and let's learn together. It was something like I expected from, you know, what is this, Zoom? Is this an afternoon PBS show? I thought, I don't want to learn with the anchor, you fucking stupid bitch. I want someone who knows something telling me. It is a terrible, horrifying thought that the blind are leading me through this. You don't know what's going on. You don't know who these people are. Let's learn together.
Well, and she puts up that commercial, and I show up at her house to learn together and to get the restraining order.
Well, you know, the more you know.
A few of my moments that didn't make it, which were more, interesting for me. The end of the West Wing was
Jason in the audience of The Price is Right. Robin in the audience of Bill Maher.
Trudel showing up on Oprah.
Trudel showing up on Oprah.
That was good time. this was the end of The West Wing, so they had their last show this year.
Absolutely.
The best moment on TV was actually, for me, a moment that didn't actually occur. This was the O.J. Simpson interview. That could have been the best moment on TV and was definitely one of the most talked about stories so far this year, and it didn't actually happen on television.
I think the best moment for me that didn't happen was George Bush sucking off a burro. That was...
Best moment that almost was.
Yeah, that was the best moment that didn't happen for me. You can't tell me what wasn't on
TV. But that was supposed to happen. That was something that was going to happen.
In my mind, mine was supposed to happen, all right? I need to adjust the dosage. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's my Time Magazine moment, Person of the Year.
Okay. Moment. Well, God bless you.
And then an honorable mention to YouTube, which is kind of TV, for showing the Michael Richards thing.
Which is kind of entertainment.
YouTube was, it was instrumental in getting it on TV, eventually. So.
Sure.
Good job. Good for them.
What point do you think all of this self-referential TV referring to the blogosphere, referring to YouTube, referring to TV, at what point does this all sort of become critical mass and it implodes upon itself and forms a new star child?
I don't really know. I think it's been good for television, at least. It gives it more content. I mean, because in this world where we have the 24-hour-a-day cable networks and they need to feed the machine, the blogosphere and YouTube and all that is only serving to give them more content.
But do you think there's a backlash against that, though, coming at some point? I mean, you think this just lasts forever and the weasels Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Mm-hmm.
And is the judge says to them, you stop laughing, you're going to laugh yourself to death, right? I mean, they're just so distracted by what's going on that they just laugh themselves and they die. I mean, is there a point where we just distract ourselves to death?
Possibly. I think it's happening to me. There's too much to keep up with. And the problem is, a lot of people like to watch shows like CSI, and they like to listen to radio shows like they used to be able to listen to Howard Stern, and have that kind of water cooler moment where everybody can come together and talk about something, some kind of national connectedness we'd have.
Mm-hmm.
And we're losing that. There's no one big thing. I mean, the finale of Survivor was on Sunday, and that used to be a huge thing. to where people would say, would get mad at the stations I worked at for broadcasting who won before they could get home to watch.
That's true. I remember Ron Owen got a whole big thing about
and
talking.
That was a huge big deal. And, you know, it happened on Sunday, and it was number 5 in the ratings, but nobody really talked about it. It wasn't a big moment. So, you know, I think the audiences for things are going to get smaller and smaller, which is going to help for targeted advertising. So advertisers are going to be able to, you know, focus their dollars where they want to. But eventually, I think we're going to start to see things not be able to be supported. And I don't know that that means that things are going to go away, though, because, you know, like this podcast, you're not supported by anybody. Nobody's giving you money to do it. You do it because you like to do it, and you appreciate the audience feedback.
But we would take money.
I don't want to rule that part out.
Yeah, we're funded by listeners like you.
It is funny, though, because I am of two minds on this. I see exactly what you're saying, Jason, that there is this fragmentation in the media marketplace. But I also see this sort of strange hall of mirrors, this infinity mirror effect that Robin is talking about, where for the week that Britney Spears, you know, had her no panty crotch thing going, that was the story.
Say that again slower.
Think ape.
I mean, those things do seem to have, they seem to pummel us from every possible direction. I mean, you can turn, you can go to a purely political website with a purely political set of blogs, and you'll find something on there.
Well, like HuffPo. I mean,
like HuffPo.
Yeah,
sure.
Like Huffington Post has got all kinds of crap on there now.
Right.
HuffPo, is that what the kids are calling it these
days?
Yeah, that's what the kids are calling it this day. Yeah, the kids. Meanwhile, from someone who's talking about back in the day about Survivor. Okay. So don't give me any crap. My sense is there will be another cultural shift, and I don't know who leads this. I don't know whether it's a political leader in the United States, whether it's a cultural leader, but somebody takes up the reins.
Time magazine has their finger on the pulse.
Well, they have their finger up the ass of America, that's for certain, and I don't know about the pulse. I guess you can take the pulse there. All right. Anything else we should get to?
Ratings this week, CSI was number 1, Sunday Night Football number 2, Deal or No Deal number 3, and 60 Minutes comes in at number 4. That's their second top 5 finish in 2 weeks.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
A lot of old people watching.
That's right.
Old people and me.
Gotta love them.
I love 60 Minutes.
So what are you doing for the new year, my friend?
I will actually be working, producing a whole spectacular night of radio down here in Los Angeles.
On New Year's Day?
Yeah, New Year's Eve. In New Year's Eve into New Year's Day.
Really?
Yes, I'll be working from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m.
And you guys party in the newsroom?
Hopefully. I mean,
can I come visit?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually should be broadcasting, I believe, from a new studio at Hollywood and Highland, if anybody knows the L.A. area.
Sure,
I
do.
Which
is right in the center of everything next to the Man's Chinese. So I'll either be there, or if I draw the short straw, I'll be in Pasadena talking to people who are waiting in line for the Rose Parade. Whoop-dee-doo.
Oh, I'd love to do... Maybe I could do that with you, too.
feel free.
I'd love to.
That's going to be a very exciting night.
$25 if I get on the air.
You know, I've had the opportunity to do it, and I've decided against it.
You're such a puss.
Figuring I'll be, you know, a good journalism guy and adhere to the rules of journalism.
We didn't talk about Bill Handel. Should we let that go?
If you got time, I mean, at this point, it doesn't matter to me. I'll stick around and talk about it.
All right. Well, it's funny to hear this guy go off the edge. And we're running a little long, by the way. We're about 2 hours and 4 minutes into the podcast. We're going to run for like 2.5 today because we want to do the special night before Christmas thing and have a chance to talk to people, stuff like that. So we'll let me fade this down here. We were kind of fading up some music behind us that we were going to let you go and sneak out. But all right, we'll do this here.
Okay. So if we're going to do a radio thing, one quick thing before we get to that. If anybody's a fan of the Adam Carolla show, you know, that was the big show that replaced Howard Stern, one of them.
Yes.
Rumors are that half his team, this is just coming out today, rumors are half his team is being blown out. I don't know if you guys listen up there.
Yeah, occasionally.
Dave Demeshek, the sports guy.
Dave Demeshek, sports!
It's so annoying. And Big Tad, I think, is one of the producer kind of stunt guys.
Okay.
They got fired, and Danny Bonaducci is supposed to be brought in
okay
for the co-hosting.
Give that show 3 months.
that's
before
clever.
The police are brought in.
The Bonaducci Midas touch is now.
He's like the who's that? Ted McGinley?
Yeah,
was
yeah.
Ted McGinley the guy who brought into every TV show?
Just
going
before
to,
a fail.
Yeah, he's kind of like jumping the shark of TV. Bonaducci is the radio guy. All right, so I got the handle thing here,
right, and that's my segue. Is Jamie, who we're about to hear from, used to be Danny Bonaducci's co-host until that he went into rehab and got fired.
So Bill handles the morning guy in KFI in Los Angeles. What, top-rated morning show on AM Talk?
Top-rated, not just AM Talk, in the whole county.
In the whole Southland.
In the whole Southland.
And what happened?
He brought his daughters into work. This is last Friday, I believe. And he's got two twin daughters, and he does this, you know, around the holiday season. And they know the studios. And the Clear Channel building here in Los Angeles houses 8 radio stations.
Gotcha.
3 AMs, 5 FMs. The AMs are on the fourth floor. The FMs are on the fifth floor.
Okay.
The girls go upstairs to the fifth floor and are playing around outside the studio of another morning show, Jamie, Jack, and Stench. Which is, I mean, the name kind of says it all. They're a horrible show. And so she kind of, Jamie, who's the ball-busting C-word of the show, kind of yells at the girls to get out of there. And she knows who they are. She knows they're Bill Handel's daughters. And she, apparently, I don't know how bad she treated them, but they went downstairs and told Bill Handel what happened. And he runs upstairs and on the air. The following exchange occurs.
Here we go.
Look, there's that Bill Handel. Bill, I yelled at your kids. What? Bring him in. Hi, Danny Bill. Come on in.
Bill,
I just pointed at your kids with my orange flute. I said, don't come back.
We call her the Grinch.
If you ever talk to my kids that way again, Jamie, I'm going to kick your ass.
No, you go
You're
ahead
not
and...
allowed to touch them. They did not come
them,
in the studio.
Listen, Bill,
are you telling me they can't be on the fifth floor?
I'm telling them they can't be right there,
because
Bill.
You have such goddamn losing numbers on this loser show.
What?
Shut up.
What are you talking about?
Shut up.
Don't talk to anybody like
get
that.
You don't talk to my kids.
Get out.
You don't talk to my kids that way.
I said they can't be here.
You touch me.
Bill.
Don't you touch me.
Go out of here, Bill. Get out of here.
Fuck you.
You gotta push that button.
Oh,
yeah. Hey, get out of here, Bill. You're nuts.
Did you? I hope you didn't.
Yeah, he pushed the button.
Why?
Well, because we can't have the F word go on.
Yeah, but he could have.
Oh,
no, we
true.
Can't. That's AM and FM and all the same company.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Handel.
Is that enough? We need more?
That's pretty much all of it.
Okay.
Yep. L.A. radio for all those who aren't aware of it.
Well, it is the number one market in the United States, is it not?
Number two, actually. New York's number one.
I thought L.A. had the number one radio market.
Nope, we're number two.
Well, I'm glad we stayed around for that, my friend. Now we're going to go back to that music you can hear where we're playing you off.
That's just good stuff.
Well, listen, thank you so very much. First of all, thanks for being a part of Schnauzer Logic in 2006. Your reports from the road were epic. The running into Oprah kind of, you know, put us on the map. And you know, since you've been back in Los Angeles, the weekly appearances are much beloved.
Well, thank you. And it's been my pleasure. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you so very much.
Are you firing me?
No.
Replacing me with Danny Bonaducci?
No. Yes, I am. No, I'm replacing you. Dave Damashek.
Number one spot. Do it, Dave. I'm glad that's going to be gone. Cause...
I don't know. If I were them, I'd keep it. Just to annoy you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. What are you looking forward to in the 2007? You got a thing, you got a happening, you got a girlfriend, what?
I'm looking forward to hopefully not waking up at 2 in the morning to go to work.
All right, well, that could change.
I don't know how long that's going to keep up.
All right.
But, you know, it's good. You know, they say when you're in radio, if you're working on the morning show, you're doing something right.
That's what they say.
You know, I can't argue with that. But that's good. It's a good year. You know, 2006 was big for me, changing jobs and going on the road and trying to find myself. And 2007 is so far shaping up to, everything's going in the right direction.
Well, let's hope it spoons you, buddy.
God bless. God bless.
Thanks.
God bless.
and happy Hanukkah/holidays to all of you.
Thank you. And Son of Easter, we'll talk to you in 2007.
No show next week? Oh, that's right.
This is it.
You're taking off.
I'm going to Vegas.
That's right.
Vegas, baby. I'm money and I don't even know it.
You're a gambler?
No, I'm not a gambler. I used to be, but no. I'm going to go see my sister. She's going to be in Vegas with my nephew and my brother-in-law. So I'm going to drive to Vegas.
Some horse? Yeah.
Some horrors?
Horse?
Horse?
Yeah, horse.
Yeah, some horse.
I mean, what the
$5 fun behind the Stratosphere.
You go to Vegas for one or the other. Gambling.
Yes, I'm going
to
go get some whores.
Gambling.
Can you
whores?
Imagine what a good time whores would have with me? They should pay me. All right. Thanks for making it awkward, my friend.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you next year.
Well, Parvise isn't there, so somebody has to.
That's what everybody says. All right.
Care,
take care.
Buddy.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye, guys.
Bye-bye. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and maybe we'll do a little Night Before Christmas with the Not Ready for Gender Reassignment Surgery players. All right. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic. It is our year-end holiday episode. Robin Goldstein, Sherry Stevens, Sean, me, and we're all inviting you. Please stick around.
That's the trouble around here. Talk, talk, talk. Oh, sometimes I think I must go mad.
We'll be back with more Schnauzer Logic.
Toys R Us doesn't have to fight the Christmas rush. He's never out of stock with even the hottest toys and games. It's easy. Nothing in his sack he really made. No one gets forgotten Christmas Day. So if you want to know how he gets it done in the nick of time, it's easy.
A 64-bit video system out of wood?
Oh, let me tell you, it ain't easy.
No kidding, tell me about it.
All you need is elves. All you need is elves.
We're non-union labor.
All you need is elves. Love. Elves are all you need. There's nothing you can know, not much is known. No one's ever caught one in his home. They're never really seen, but that doesn't mean that they're make-believe. They're teensy.
Hey, watch where you're stepping, you big freak.
All you need is elves. All you need is elves.
We're too short for Space Mountain.
All you need is elves. Love. Elves are all you need. 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 Elves are all you need.
This has been your orientation. Is there anything you do not understand? Is there anything you understand only partially? If you have not been fully oriented, you must file a complaint with personnel. File a faulty complaint, and they dock ya.
You want me to do two?
Welcome back. Are you doing two?
I'll do two.
Okay.
I'll try to talk as low as
no,
I can.
No, you don't. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
You know, there are women that... by the way, welcome back. We're 15 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic Podcast. Robin Goldstein, Sean Mee, and Sherry Stevens. Our special year-end holiday thing. All right. So, here's the deal. It occurred to me that it might be fun to have some audience participation. We have a special hotline, 206-666-6540. We have some talented listeners out there who have computers with microphones and recording software and the ability to send us little bits of creative audio. We've had lots of creative audio sent to us by listeners over the last year. Well, not quite a year, but... And so I thought, well, it would be fun to have the listeners each record an element, a paragraph, if you will, of the famous poem, "The Night 'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And this would have worked out a whole lot better had I actually posted the request online like a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks, give people some notice, contacted some of our former guests, and maybe they could have done it, little Charles Laquadera or whatever it was. But I did this all basically the other night. And and so it kind of shows. So as a result, we did get some feedback from some of our listeners, and I'm thrilled that we had a bunch of listeners who sent us some audio. We also have some audio from some voices that you'll recognize on the show on a regular basis. And so I thought we would do our little not ready for gender reassignment surgery players performance of "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." You guys are up for this, yeah?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So one of the things that I have discovered in my own particular broadcasting career is that things that are improv'd really need to be planned out to the last possible degree. The more improv'd it is, the more you really need to have a lot of planning going on. And we don't have that. So we're just going to we're going to wing it here with a little music. And so let me see. Let me get the right stuff going on here. And just so that I don't forget, let us say in advance thanks to Jason, Ann, Sandra, Angela, Allison, and Brian, who are all part of this, in addition, of course, to Sherry and Sean, who will be part of it here. All right, so here's a little background music. That's what makes this so complicated, is trying to time this thing out to the background music. But we'll see how this goes here. Let's see. Oh. I'm liking it. What do you think? Yeah?
It's nice.
I think it's lovely.
Ladies and gentlemen, 'twas the night near. We'll fix this in the edit. Before Christmas.
'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap.
When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash.
The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer.
With a little old driver, so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be Saint Nick. More rapid than eagles, his corsairs they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name.
Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all.
As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too.
And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof as I drew in my head and was turning around. Down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with a bound.
He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack.
His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was white as the snow.
The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly.
He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread.
He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work. He filled all the stockings and turned with a jerk. He lay his fingers aside of his nose, and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. Barbies, barbies.
He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night." I'm Brian Cox.
That's great. Very nice. Very nice.
And that is the first annual Schnauzer Logic Players performance of the... That was okay.
It was
okay.
Not bad.
Not bad.
I'm impressed because Brian Cox did all those voices.
He's amazing.
Many thanks to Jason and that was Ann Zimmerman, who sings The Plumber is the Man. Our listeners, Sandra, Allison, and Angela. And, of course, our famous Brian Cox. So there you go. And so we get closer to the end of the year.
Very close.
What are you guys thinking about as we sort of come up to the end of 2006 and into 2007? Good year, bad year, things you're happy for, things you'd like to leave behind?
You know, there oftentimes for me, I guess the bad years oftentimes serve to highlight the good things in your life. Because something happened to damage or potentially remove those things. So in many ways, they bad years make me more fortunate, make me feel more like there's value in my life than good years do. Good years, I often take as though they're deserved, kind of expected. There's a, well, the year was good, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm a rich person now. I don't care about those people dying in the snow on Mount Hood. Everything went well for me.
Yeah, you're everything Allie doesn't want.
Yeah, it winds up with.
How about you?
I think it's been a good year.
Good year.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah, lots of changes, but lots of financial gains for me. It's been, and I've managed to enjoy my home and my children. It's been good. Been very good.
In 2007?
I hope to be spooned.
I love Allie.
She's great. Yeah, that's a great I love
She is
that.
Absolutely terrific. Well,
and how about you, Robin?
It was a good year. You know, I think the Buddhist notion is the only constant is change. And that's certainly the case in my own life, professionally, personally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, all of those other LY forms. And yet, one of the things that I realize is we had an opportunity this year to put together this little show and to, on a almost weekly basis, right? Almost every week. To get together and make people laugh just a little bit. Not always for the whole 2 hours. Sometimes it would just groan a little bit, but we would entertain people. And I think that as the world becomes more fragmented, more, and entertainment is sort of balkanized, that the fact that you can reach out and just touch people all over the place and connect with them, make them laugh, make them think, that's a blessing. So I feel blessed, regardless of everything else that's going on, in spite of everything else that's going on, and because of everything else that's going on, I feel blessed. And I made a little list of all the people who were part of the show this year, who were either on the air or submitted material, and I was just amazed at We have to say thanks to Kip Adana, Eliza Alfrichtig, Alan Bainbridge, Brian Cox, Dave Fowkes, Susie Fowkes, Steve Golson, Brian Hart, Robin Holsey, Jan Karam, Bob Lamb, Charles Lacquadera, Gordine McKenzie, the guy who was from Bill Maher's production company, the lady from the Experian Credit Union, Nancy Nangeroni, Doug Sovereign, Chip Street, Ken Turetsky, Ali Waller, Rachel Weinstein, Ton Westerlund, Ann Zimmerman, Mark Zinkel, and Michael Zwirling.
Nice.
Those are people who were either on the air with us or submitted some audio to us, and we wanted to thank them. And, of course, our regulars here in the studio, John DeCoven. Win John DeCoven's money. We're going to hopefully do more with John next year. Jason Nathanson and my good friend Sherry, Sean, and Parviz. Parviz, thank you guys for being here, for being my friends, for making people, making someone sitting on their bicycle over in the UK laugh as they go to school. That, I think, is, well, that's the wrong song.
Hey, when it's Creedence, it's never the wrong song, my man.
Bring it on.
Close.
I love it.
There's a star.
It was a good screw up.
That was how I finished the year.
Jesus, God, come on and worship him. We're going up to Bethlehem. Ooh, bring a sack full of gold for the baby. Get some grace while the getting's good.
Apple caramel and Bethlehem Chevrolet.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
Oh man, that was not what I was thinking about here. Oh God, here we go. Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Thank you, guys. I think I'm looking forward to next year.
I am, too.
Great shows. So, I'm driving to Vegas on Christmas Day. The more I think about it, the more I realize that that's just a really fucking stupid thing to do.
I told you.
Right?
It is.
It's too many hours and too far. And
fly.
Well, it's 500. No, I don't want it. I wouldn't fly at this point. First of all, I don't know if I'd get a reservation. And it's a pain in the ass. And then you got to deal with the airports on Christmas. Christmas Day airport's not bad. Coming back, anytime I come back, is going to be a pain in the ass.
That's true.
And I don't want to go through that. And have to take off my shoes and dump all my makeup. I need a car, baby.
Okay. Actually, I love road trips, so...
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a road trip.
It's a road trip. It's fun to pack up all your stuff in your car that you use half
that way
of.
I can bring my cameras, right? I can bring a video camera, take my nephew out into the Vegas Strip and have him do interviews.
Oh, that'd
right?
be great.
I mean, I can do stuff. Like, I can just throw stuff in the car. So it's the way to do it. So I'm thinking maybe get up at, like when Jason gets up. You know, get up at 4 or 5 kind of thing. Pack the night before. Get up, lay out my clothes. So I know what I'm going to wear. Get up, take a quick shower, you know, and get in the car and start driving. Like to get out of here, like, by 5:30. And, like, drive for, you know, maybe 3 or 4 hours. Stop and have a little breakfast at a McDonald-y kind of thing. You know, get a little egg a muffin with, you know, cheese. And then maybe drive until, like, another 3 hours and then pull over and take a nap for a half an hour. So, like, just get a really good solid nap in there. And then, by then I should be probably past Barstow. And then
you're taking 5 down. How are you getting down?
Yeah, sure. Okay. You take 5 down and make a left, and
yeah. Okay. That's basically it.
That's it, right?
Okay.
It's 5 and a left.
Yeah. I've never driven to Vegas, so
yeah. So it's 525 miles. That's why it doesn't seem like it's an ungodly amount of time.
But you do have to go through L.A., right?
No.
Okay, no, that's
you
good.
You turn left way before L.A.
Oh, yeah, good. Yeah. Then you're good.
Yeah. I think the hardest thing will be getting over the Pacheco Pass. That's the biggest pain in the ass.
That is.
And that's time of the day there shouldn't be any trucks or anything like that on Christmas Day, so it'll be good. I got plenty of stuff to listen to. I think I'll just listen to Schnauzer Logics from start to finish. I'll get there and I'll be jibby jabba.
Parviz.
What are you doing for Christmas?
I am going to my ex-husband's house for pizza. He just bought a bunch of pizza ovens, so he's got one hooked up. So we're gonna have we're gonna make our own pizzas and play board games. How's that for an exciting Christmas day?
I was scared at the delay after I'm going to my ex-husband's house and burn it down.
You got plans?
No, staying home.
All right. We're going to see you.
You want to make pizzas and play board games?
Come over.
Please.
All right. Well, thank you guys. And of course, thanks to the listeners. If I haven't said thanks to listeners enough, I certainly want to. We've grown from, you know, a few hundred listeners to close to 1,000 people a week who listen to the show at some point along the way, and I just can't say thanks enough. It would make my mom and dad proud if they were still around. It seems to have no impact on my sister whatsoever. Go figure. And it gives something. It gives Ken Turetsky something to do a few times a year. And until 2007. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. We're going to take a break next week. If I have time, I may throw up a little... best of. And I don't know about the first week of the new year. We may take that week off, too. It depends on what's going on in people's lives because of the way that the New Year's works out this year. I got some medical stuff that I'm going to deal with, so we'll let you know on the blog. But we're definitely coming back, and we got to do show number 40. We were supposed to do it. We missed it. We didn't have it. We got to do the big 4-0.
Yep.
And then 2007.
Woo!
That's it. We'll just let it play out. It's a little mission to Moscow. This is Schnauzer Logic. We love you guys. www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. Please tell your friends. Have a Merry Christmas and a happy, happy, happy New Year. And we'll see you next year. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
I'm in my vagina.
No.